All righty, it's Joel Radio back with you. How you doing out there in podcast land? You want to say radio land, but it's not really radio land.
What's radio?
Nah. It's more like computer land or phone land or something. I don't know. Is that safe to say? Internet land?
How you doing, Podcast Alley?
I don't know if that's still around.
What's happening in Podcast Pickle?
Do you want to go check that real quick?
I'm on that mother right now.
You always like to start the show with some Corey Hall's history of podcasting moment. That's if you look through all the shows we've done, that is the most common open. Well, Corey will tell you about podcasting.
When you get older,
you get nostalgic. Is that?
Well, no. I heard Chuck Klosterman.
Okay.
The writer.
I like Chuck Klosterman.
Yeah, has a new book out. It's called What If We're Wrong, about how history only takes shape eventually, and maybe things that we like now or think are good and important will in the long run shape.
Okay.
How eventually no one will know any other reggae but Bob Marley.
Okay.
That'll how things kind of blend together. And he said it's impossible to be like 70 years old and not seem a little crazy.
Because you're out of touch.
Because the whole world, no, because you just have access to this world that came before.
Yeah.
And I'm already experiencing that now, as a young old man.
Well, your things the way people don't do things the way you used to do them, and if you try to do them that way, you seem out of touch.
No, it's just I got to stop and explain. Like what you really realize is that I was talking. I had an internet. Chat, a little Facebook chat with some guys about Tim and Eric.
Okay.
Which they thought was funny. Because they're 24.
All right.
And I think Tim and Eric are brutal. And unfunny.
I agree with you.
And I felt like I couldn't even, and maybe it's that thing where you're like, oh, you think, well, gee, Steve Allen made fun of rock and roll in 1955.
Yes, he did.
He was a jazz guy. Was he wrong? Am I wrong about Tim and Eric? Yeah, no, Tim and Eric suck. I don't think I'm wrong about that. And I think definitively, what I'm just saying is you get the context when you get older.
Right, yes. I think I agree with you. Yeah, you get, things.
I know Tim and Eric are doing, and I saw the guys that did it better before them.
Well.
You know what I mean?
Ultimately, everything when you're in your teens and early 20s.
Seems better.
Everything that you like then seems like that. Like that's the best era of rock and roll for everybody. That's the best era of music. That's the best era of sports. That's the best era of whatever, professional wrestling. They talk about it like whatever era you grew up on is the best era of professional wrestling, even if it's not actually the best,
Well, that's
in an objective sense.
Yeah, but I think wrestling is very specifically catered to 14-year-olds.
That's true, but I mean, so is rock and roll, and so is I think comedy and sitcoms and those kind of things. You will never have the affinity for a modern sitcom like you had for.
Well, okay, nothing ages faster than stand-up comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing. There is. It's very hard.
Yeah.
To find comedy from 50 years ago that sounds relevant to you.
No, exactly. It all sounds dated.
It's
even if it sounds good. Like Abbott and Costello was funny to me, but it's not contemporary.
TCM was showing Greg Proops is host. Now they've got Robert Osborne starting to get the watery eye.
Okay,
that's the first sign of aging, the watery
eye.
So I think they trot him out for like the essentials. He's doing less, and so now they've got more guest hosts and more people.
Okay,
and Greg Proops is doing like a series of slapstick.
Okay,
and he showed Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Okay.
And I was watching that was like the next one up.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, let's watch some of this. And we watched the first 20 minutes. And my wife sat there and went, this is the good one. And
you know what? I'm okay. You go ahead and
I thought you were silly for watching all of them at once. That was my
issue. I was completely silly. I'm not saying I wasn't.
I thought that was what I was critiquing you for, was being absurd about.
Yeah.
If you'd gone, I watched a couple of Abbott and Costello's. I went, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It was that you were going to watch all of them.
I did watch all of them.
In a short time period. That's just how your brain works.
Yeah.
I'm not even shitting 28 on 28 of them. I'm not even shitting on Abbott and Costello. I just think you and I were old enough to have grown up on that stuff.
Yeah.
Where that was
it was on every Sunday morning.
It was on TV. And
me
the
and my dad. My dad liked it, and I would sit there with him,
granted,
and I would watch it.
Now, that stuff was already 40, 50 years old when we were watching it. And then, you know, The Little Rascals was already 50 years old.
Yeah, I don't know that 80s. I ever really enjoyed Little Rascals.
It was on all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you were a kid, and I feel we always talk about this.
I like Leave It to Beaver.
I think you and I...
That was 20... Leave It to Beaver actually was not... Leave It to Beaver was only 18, 19 years old when I was watching. Because I think Leave It to Beaver came out in 59 to 63.
It was in the early 60s.
No, so it would have been 20. It would have been about 20
when
I watched
it. You were watching the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I was watching late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. Which, but yeah, we were watching stuff from 20 years. But
Leave It to Beaver felt ancient when in the late 70s. Like, Leave It to Beaver completely a complete bygone
era. That show
era.
Had dated instantaneously.
Exactly, yeah. But no, I know what you mean. It's like you get older, and but I mean, I tried to watch some of stand-up comedy. I think I talked about it on the show when I tried to watch Eddie Murphy Delirious on Netflix the one day, and it was like, what is this shit? Like, I remember the bits and I remember laughing at them, but they're better as memories than they are as actual bits. And when Carlin died, we tried to find good Carlin clips. I remember that, and not that Carlin sucked or anything, but it's hard to pull out. A Carlin, I mean, Carlin sort of is more of a long form comedian than
Carlin's
than a, joke.
A little easier because he's got stuff that doesn't rely. It's not as temporal. It's more, you know, a place for your stuff.
Yeah.
Or whatever. They're more conceptual.
But I remember just trying to pull out good Carlin and it was like, yeah, this is all out of context if you don't watch the whole special.
Yeah. And Carlin kept working until, you know,
he
late.
Did a special every year for 25 years.
But yeah, if you try and watch like an Alan King clip or something.
Yeah, I watched a Buddy Hackett.
Although I might not have ever liked Alan King. But
there's a Buddy Hackett HBO special that I used to watch as a kid that I found on YouTube, and I watched some of that.
Yeah.
And thought it was okay. I mean, I didn't love it, but, you know. It was...
Okay, well, all right. Abbott and Costello, as hokey as this material is, and it is admittedly, you have to say, hokey and 50s and 40s mentality and vibe.
Right.
Bud and Lou themselves are... talented performers, and you can still tell. You can still tell that part.
They could work today. They just wouldn't do that act.
Yeah, they wouldn't be doing the same hokey old.
No,
you know.
But they could be. They could be. You know,
give me the shovel because the shovel's my pick. The pick is the you know the whole shovel and the pick thing. Right.
But they could do. They would do. They would do comedy movies, a la you know Farley and Spade or Jonah Hill. Right. And Seth Rogen, you know, they could be the modern version.
Well, you're
of
totally right about that Delirious. It's also homophobic.
It is. And
it's all
weird.
It's all faggots. This, and that. And it's just like it doesn't. We made a little jump in this country where I don't know 10 years when we started doing this show.
Yeah,
it was a lot. We would do that kind of stuff. Just you know.
Well,
I mean,
it wasn't. It was Eddie Murphy in the 80s was shocking.
Yeah,
that it's not shocking like that anymore. Everybody's doing that, Eddie Murphy. You know, what Eddie Murphy did, now everybody does. It's kind of like Lenny Bruce. You know, Lenny Bruce is not, you know, shocking by today's standards, but at the time it was shocking, and I think Eddie kind of works the same way, you know. I mean, everybody can steal that Eddie Murphy persona, and so many guys have, that it just doesn't seem fresh now. It just seems boring.
Well, he's been completely...
warmed over.
But that's the other problem. That's another problem in terms of... We're going to talk about the Beatles coming up.
Yeah.
In terms of it being absorbed into the culture.
Yeah.
I say that about Citizen Kane to people all the time. People will ask me, is Citizen Kane really a great movie?
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, if you watch it on a shot-by-shot basis, like, you know, Ebert used to do a shot-by-shot deconstruction.
Yeah.
If you do it on a shot-by-shot basis, yes. The way that they, the use of cameras, you know, they dug trenches in the floor.
Watch the other big movies from 1941,
right.
And then tell me that Citizen Kane isn't great.
Because what it did was create a grammar.
Yeah.
And I think Eddie Murphy created a black comic grammar.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, well, Red Fox was doing it first and all that kind of stuff, and he built on that. But Eddie was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Yeah.
And you don't see Eddie very often lately.
And he's talking about going on tour.
Right.
Which, by the way, I'm buying a ticket for the Eddie Murphy tour just to have a report on this show for only that purpose. I am going to go with no intention of enjoying
it.
What
do you think the
tickets might be surprised.
Would be
it might be $1,000, but I can get into Eddie Murphy. Trust me, I'll be fine.
The tickets would be insane for Eddie Murphy, right?
I'll get into Eddie Murphy. Oh, man. He's going to play big buildings and probably not sell them out. So
well, that's a good point.
Eddie Murphy.
StubHub.
You could get into Springsteen for $25 last week because it was a 60,000-seat football stadium on a Wednesday.
Wow.
In Boston. Should we talk about that now?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Anyway, we got out sidetracked.
Well, okay.
But I want to know. You're right. Eddie was like, I don't know what I would talk about anymore.
And he's going to do it.
And Kimmel was kind of goofing.
He'll have some guys write for him. And
Kimmel was
fine.
Like, yeah, you got a guy that picks your clothes. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you going to talk about?
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'll go. Like I said, I promise you, my audience.
Yeah.
I will go see Eddie Murphy live and in person.
Okay.
When that happens.
What do you think? He's coming to Detroit? I don't know. I feel like he might do one of those things where he plays like 10 shows.
Like Radio
something.
City and that's it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
You know how these guys do where they're like, We're gonna
well,
do a tour.
The question with Eddie is, does he go and do Joe Louis Arena right away, or does he do like Ford Field, or does he do like the Fox and try to make some pent up?
I think you got to warm up to that.
What's he gonna play?
He's gonna have to do like some theaters or something.
He's gonna do the Fox or the Fillmore or something.
I don't think you go stadium tour right away.
See, I think if you're Eddie, you do. I think you do the stadiums before people realize you suck.
Well. stadiums will figure that out real quick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I mean, but then the checks have cleared and he's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll go to Eddie Murphy. All right, let me talk because last week I was on the East Coast, saw a couple Springsteen shows out there and did some other fun stuff. So went out to Pittsburgh on Sunday, saw Bruce in Pittsburgh that night. Stayed at the Westin and walked to the arena. Very nice Console Energy Center indoor arena. He was doing 10 shows, only two arenas. He was doing the United Center in Chicago, which I did not go to on this run. I went on the last one in Chicago. But then he did Console Energy where the Penguins play.
Yeah, okay.
It's a decent night. Nice little building there in Pittsburgh. Went to that. Next day, got up. You know, that was on 9/11, and Bruce did some, he did a lot of stuff from The Rising, which was kind of his 9/11 album. So it was a nice, really nice show. A lot of people loved it. But in the 9/11 mood, I decided, hey, I'm close to Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So the next morning, I got up and went to the Flight 93 Memorial.
This is Joel's vacation fun times.
Well, I figure, look,
yes,
I'll probably never go again.
Right.
I may not be in that part of Pennsylvania again, you know, because it's between between Pittsburgh and Philly. And it's not like I'm driving that way all the time.
No.
So let's stop in and
thank God, because that Pennsylvania
it's a hideous
tollway
drive.
Is a terrible drive.
It is a hideous, expensive fucking thing.
It's expensive. You go through a lot of mountains and rocks, and then
you go through a couple tunnels, and then you're in eastern Pennsylvania, which
flatland,
is
yeah.
stupid. Yeah. So anyway, I go to the Flight 93 Memorial, which is now a national park, this field where the plane came down. And they have a whole visitor center. They have a lot of it's funny because when you watch stuff like Loose Change, and I watch all these 9/11 conspiracy documentaries about how nothing was recovered from the crash. And of course, you go to this visitor center and there's tons of things that were recovered. The biggest piece of the fuselage was only 6 feet by 7 feet, but there's lots of personal artifacts from Todd Beamer and the other guys, the passengers who helped bring down the plane. They have one of the terrorist credit cards that was found and lots of pieces of wire and things like that. And there's a whole memorial wall that you can walk down. And
Did they have the F-15, did they have the Hellfire missile that shot it down?
Yeah, it wasn't shot down. I don't agree with you on that. But Corey,
did they show you how it was an inside
Corey
job?
Likes dumb stuff as long as it's outrageous enough. Like, Corey's a very smart, insightful guy, but in the grand scheme of things, there's conspiracies. They don't exist on a minute-to-minute basis in Corey's world. But in the grand scheme of things, then there's somebody pulling the strings.
Hold on. Small-scale conspiracies do exist.
Yeah?
Because I was recently brought to my attention that someone created a fake Twitter account for a hack non-comedian who's been attacking other comedians.
Right.
They went to the trouble of doing that.
Let me move on with my point.
There's a conspiracy.
Let me move on.
All right.
So very emotional. A lot of people crying.
Yeah.
Very sad. The Flight 93 Memorial, which I don't regret going to, although as I was trying to, I had to get to like New York City.
Did you stop by any of the Holocaust centers on the way? Did you stop in for some shits and giggles?
Yeah, I stopped by the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And,
oh, man.
Well, look, I said I'm there. It was 9/11. Now, listen, had I gone on 9/11...
You know, I'm sure in eastern Pennsylvania there were a lot of lynchings. Did you,
I did not stop any trees
where there had been some lynching?
I did not go to the Amish female castration center or whatever they have there. I don't know what the fuck
they do. I don't think the Amish do that.
I don't know what they do. All kinds of weird shit. Who knows?
The worst part about that is...
Listen,
they do it with wooden hand tools. That's the worst part.
Listen, I'm going to put it out there, Corey. To be fair, if you're Amish and you're listening to this...
Hold her down, Hezekiah.
If you're Amish and you're angry, please email me at joelthecomic@gmail.com. And I will be happy to respond to, anyway.
Yeah, get on your horse and come together.
Yeah, I would be happy to respond. So I went to that, but it was a long way.
Get on old Bessie.
It didn't seem like on the map it was far out of the way, but it's all like country roads to get to it. So it added a good 2 hours to my day of driving, which was already going to be long. So that was kind of a negative, but I did enjoy the memorial as much as you could.
It was kind of a negative. Boy, it really took me a long time to go to the site of a downed aircraft, and I'm sorry.
Well, it was interesting. It was interesting to me, right? Because I you know, when you hear about that, when you can visualize history, I think it makes it that much more real to you. And I enjoy seeing those things.
All right.
And I did also run into a quite delightful sight on the way back, which was a miniature horse farm that I stopped in and took photos of miniature horses.
Wow!
And I went, and you're supposed to go to this restaurant, and then you pay them. And they let you feed the miniature horses. I said, fuck all that. And I pulled the car over on the side of this little two-lane road. And I got out, and all the miniature horses came over. I think they expected me to feed them, which I didn't have any food for. Actually, I had carrots in my cooler. I could have fed miniature horses miniature carrots. But I did not do that. But I took photos with miniature horses. I thought that was a little delightful side trip there. And listen, the day gets more fun. Because when I made it through god-awful Pennsylvania... Got into New Jersey, started driving down the Jersey Turnpike, headed to Freehold, New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen's hometown, and I went to Bruce Springsteen's homes, his childhood homes, and Bruce Springsteen's schools that he went to, and I saw those places, which, very small town, Freehold. Although, I have to say, if you listen to Bruce, and maybe this was the case when he grew up, about how poor everyone was and everyone was out of jobs. It reminded me of a town like a Michigan equivalent would be like Holly, Michigan, or like Chelsea. It had a little downtown with lots of little wine bars and restaurants. It was not as poor and run down as I would have been led to believe from the Springsteen lore, but I enjoyed it. Took some photos over there. Went out to Belmar, New Jersey on the Jersey Shore. So I had another 45 minutes to Belmar. And I went to E Street. There's an actual street, E Street, that I went to.
Yeah.
And if you go to the corner of E Street...
I thought that was in Asbury Park.
No, I'm getting to Asbury Park. Okay. This is in Belmar, New Jersey. And well, what it was one of the band members' mothers had a house on E Street. And when they wanted to come up with the name of the band, they called the E Street Band. And I went to the house. And it's actually a pretty nice little neighborhood by the beach, Belmar, New Jersey. And then at the corner of 10th Avenue and E Street, there's a memorial to Bruce there. It's the front lawn of the Belmar Public Library. So I took some photos there as well. And
wow,
this is holy crap!
I mean, Joel,
this is
what's amazing is you know what's really amazing is when someone tells you about their vacation.
Well, I'm getting it. Let me.
And it's a vacation you would never care.
That's
about.
That's fine. I know you don't care. And I'm fine with you not caring. I'm not asking you to care.
Okay.
I'm sharing it with the audience.
All right.
Then I went up to Asbury Park. It's another 10 miles up the shore. You get to Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Call us at 610-552-0746 and let me know how you feel about Joel Springsteen anecdotes.
Well, it's fine. I would be done with these already, and we'd be on to the next topic if you didn't interrupt me every 2 seconds.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So then I go up to Asbury Park, and I went to the boardwalk, and I saw the kind of the legendary stuff that's in his songs. Madame Marie's and the carousel and the casino. Much smaller. Everything much smaller than you think, I think. You hear this.
Well, it's just like.
You hear about Asbury Park.
It's like your
and you
old
think
elementary
it's this
school.
Giant place.
It's smaller.
And it was not that big. But I did see the Stone Pony and the Wonder Bar and the Paramount Theater and all these places. Walked up and down the boardwalk at sunset. It was very nice. Got back in the car and went up to Long Branch, New Jersey. Again, another 10 miles up the Jersey Shore. Saw the house that Bruce lived in when he wrote Born to Run, which is in one of the documentaries, a documentary about Born to Run, where they show the house that Bruce lived in. And I went and saw that little tiny house, which was neat. And then I went up and stayed with a friend up in Jersey City, New Jersey, which, boy, what can I tell you about Jersey City? Look, I'm from Detroit,
yeah,
which is not a great place to be. You know, there's certain neighborhoods you don't want to be in Detroit.
Yes.
I was terrified in Jersey City. Now, where my friend lives is actually a nice neighborhood and a nice house in Jersey City, but Jersey City itself has some fucking shitty neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. And, so Jersey City, not the greatest place, but, you know, enjoyed seeing an old friend there. Next day, got up, had to drive to Boston, stopped by my final Springsteen haunt on my tour, which was the old 914 Studios, where he recorded his first two albums and the Born to Run single, and also other acts used it. Janis Ian recorded 17 at this studio. And it is now a car wash, which is somehow appropriate.
Did Janis Ian ever have any other songs?
I think there's a couple Janis Ian. As I Google it while I'm talking.
Because I get the feeling like she's not really a one-hit wonder, but yet that's the only song.
A lot of those female acts get like one album, you know? And then Janis Ian, I think, had her album, and it was recorded around the same time. But yeah, that place is now a car wash, but there's a plaque commemorating it. And again, took some photos. Drove, so I actually bypassed Manhattan by doing that as well, because Blauvelt, New York is just over the Jersey State line, sort of up by Westchester, so I was able to go over the Tappan Zee bridge into Connecticut. Drove through Connecticut along the coast there. Not much to see in Connecticut, but it was all right.
Yeah, I've never been up in that.
And not a whole lot up there. I thought Mystic, Connecticut seemed kind of cool as a little vacation town.
Did you get a Mystic pizza?
Did not. Didn't get any pizza. I'm on this diet. I'll talk about my diet in a minute, too. I'll bore you even more. I'll talk about my diet, Corey. Infuriate you more.
I don't know how I could be more bored.
Well, I got to Boston.
Okay.
Which was,
Boston.
I was staying in Franklin, Massachusetts, which is outside Boston, because I was staying close to Foxborough, where Gillette Stadium is.
Yeah.
But I got to Franklin, hopped right on the train that went into Boston. So I took the commuter train in, that took an hour each way.
Yeah.
Went into Boston, did some sightseeing, walked around, had some clam chowder, which was my first non-vegan food after 6 weeks about of being on this diet.
Foxborough is kind of in between Rhode Island and...
Yeah, it's closer to Providence, technically.
It's kind of between Providence and Boston.
Yeah, but then my friend Kevin, my old buddy who I used to share a place with in Amtramck, he lives in New York City, so he came up on the train. I would have gladly picked him up in Brooklyn and taken him, but he had to work that day, so we had to get on a late train coming to Providence.
I think you were living with Kevin before we did the podcast.
Yeah, we recorded the demo in the apartment we shared.
Joel had an apartment.
We recorded a radio demo.
Joel had an apartment in Hamtramck, which was
Belmont Street. Yeah,
literally downstairs was a stripper who had like giant like Lycra, clear plastic shoes.
Well, they moved out and...
she left stripper shoes.
The landlord threw out all of their belongings that they left behind, which involved most of her stripper gear.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, those were kept as trophies.
Maybe she was retired.
Around this apartment, I don't know. Well, they had to move out, and then I forget who moved in the downstairs.
You had the stripper shoes like on the mantle.
They were, I think they were like on top of the television
like
or something, yeah.
And then next door, downstairs was a stripper. Next door was a rooster.
Yes, a guy was that was two doors down. I think a guy was cockfighting.
That was
it was a bizarre. You know how I said Jersey City sucked? Hamtramck sucked too. So fuck Hamtramck and fuck Jersey City and both of those places.
I should pull it up. There's a great, apparently there's a guy, there's a real estate developer that owns a big chunk of, Compo.
Okay.
He's got a bunch of the property.
Yeah, I've heard this story. I know.
And he's not developing them.
Yes.
Well, apparently the mayor of Hamtramck gave an interview and she's like, yeah, well, we're kind of hamstrung. This guy won't rent.
He's hoping for the values to go up, I believe.
He thinks he can put a Panera or something in there, or, he wants to put chains in there. And the Hamtramck mayor is saying, well, you could be renting these to small businesses. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he wrote this letter that they quoted in the paper. It was like, you've got a bunch of... You got a bunch of crappy chocolates and overpriced. You know, it was just like it was.
Oh,
just,
the guy wrote a letter.
The guy wrote this letter about like how you've got all these terrible brown people that smell like curry.
Oh, and, I like, didn't see that. Well,
hipsters that are ruining Hamtramck. It was it was kind of amazing how vitriolic this guy was.
Hamtramck is not good. Now, no.
I think there should be somewhere between him expecting like Restoration Hardware to move
sure,
in there,
yeah.
And him expecting, you know, I get what he would be like. I don't want to rent to like, you know, some.
He doesn't want to sell Indian gowns and incense sticks. I get that.
Yeah, but
you know,
there's got to be somewhere in between there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like Hamtramck is on the up.
I
feel like it's on the down.
Well,
because even when I lived there, there was like more places to hang out.
It's in the midst of a big demographic shift.
Yeah.
And so like you got like on, it used to be Polish people and now it's like Bangladeshi and Nepali and whatever. I mean, there's like a whole, and that corner is kind of becoming occupied and full. And then the other side of it anyway.
Yeah, it's.
So it stacks up to Jersey is what you're saying.
Well, I actually, you know, it's funny. Where I was, all that brew stuff was, like, the part of Jersey that's not around New York City where I had never really been in the shore.
About
stuff,
as much Jersey as I've ever done is Hoboken.
Which is New York City, basically.
Yes, it's basically the other, you know.
And I liked Hoboken as a little suburb of New York, but, again, all the traffic and stuff. When you get to Jersey,
yes.
Central Jersey, the Jersey Shore where I was, I thought it was really great. I thought it was wonderful. I could see myself living there. I don't want to live there. I'm fine living here, but, you know, it was nice. It was not, it didn't have that hustle and bustle of the New York metro area, and it was very pleasant, and I get why people live there, and it's nice. But anyway, so I go to Boston, had a good time in Boston, went and picked up Kevin in Providence, and then we had dinner at, where did we go? P.F. Chang's, I think Kevin wanted. It was right by the train station, which is nice. The Amtrak station is right outside the State House in Providence, which is on this big hill, and it's quite amazing looking.
Capitol
it's really
hill.
Great.
Yeah,
and I thought Providence was cool for the hour or two I spent there. You know,
they've got a nice little little Italy in Providence.
It seemed very
cute.
Clean. I know it's. I think Brown University is there, so it felt very collegey in Providence. Mm-hmm. Kind of felt like Ann Arbor a little bit to me. It was nice. So I like that.
Providence is not that bad a town. It's all
right. I like Providence. And then the next day, Kevin said, well, I want to go into Boston. And you had a chance to go. So I said, all right, we'll go into Boston. We'll get on this train. We walked around Boston. I think because my phone logs, you know, how much I walk and stuff. And that, I believe I walked about 5 miles in Boston that day.
There you go.
And God damn it, it was a lot. But we went up to Fenway Park. We went on, we went and saw, you know, Faneuil Hall and all the fucking tourist shit. We saw there's Beacon Hill. Where all the
this is the thing about Boston, if you go I've taken the the Freedom Trail or whatever the Liberty Trail. If you go in Boston Commons, you start there.
Yeah, Boston Common. I went to that. It's a big park.
It's kind of the central park of Boston. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, Boston Commons. You start there, and a guy in a three-pointed hat. You know,
that tour. Oh, with that guy.
You do like the Liberty Walk called. And they take in, you know, this is where Thomas Jefferson farted one time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, this is, you know.
I saw Paul Revere's grave.
Yeah, Paul Revere's grave and, you know.
Paul Revere is a house you can go to.
Yeah, you see Paul Revere's stuff and they talk about there is a little tiny old graveyard that they walk you through.
There's a couple of them.
Paul Revere. Anyway, they show you all this historic stuff and then you're like, and here's a Starbucks.
Yeah. Boston was not as old as I thought.
And then you get to the end of that Liberty Trail.
Yeah.
And you end up in Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
Which was like kind of the beginnings of the Revolution were in Faneuil Hall.
It was a
Hall
meeting place where the forefathers met.
It was an important meeting place and one of the beginning, you know, one of the epicenters of the beginning of the Revolution. You go inside and it's all cotton candy and beef jerky.
It is a tourist trap,
And it's just, it's just all silly string.
The place is surrounded by tourists. And then the market, which is where I went and got. And then Kevin wanted to have clam chowder. So we got there. I had clam chowder on the second day.
Yeah. And there's a Cold Stone Creamery in there, just like there was in 1765.
There was like all these. There's this market that's got to have like 50 food stalls.
Yeah.
And some of it is like stuff you've heard of. And then others is like, you know, a Joe and Eddie's chowder, which is what I ended up having. You know, it's like two. the two guy, you can get lobster rolls and clam chowder, and you just eat it, and you eat it on a picnic table in the middle of this market. And I did that, and it was fine. You know, it was nice. They have a Cheers, which is called Cheers. Yes. Now, I guess the Cheers is based on a real bar, which I didn't see. But
yeah, it's called, like, the Bull and Finch Club.
But I didn't get a chance to see that. I don't know where the fuck that is. But I did see the touristy Cheers. And even inside the touristy Cheers, it doesn't look that much like Cheers. Had it not had a Cheers sign and cardboard cutouts of George Wendt and fucking, you know, all the characters from Cheers and Shelley Long, I don't think I would have even known it was a Cheers. It would have just looked like some tourist bar.
Yes, the Bull and Finch Pub.
I don't know where that is. So, you know, that was fine. And then Kevin goes, let's go see where they did the Boston Tea Party. Oh, fine. I don't know what the fuck. That is the most touristy fucking stupid thing I've ever seen, the Boston Tea Party. It's like two of these ships, and as you walk up, you hear guys yelling at you. Like, it's in the. It was so stupid. Like, we didn't pay to take the tour, but you could see people taking the tour of these boats. So stupid. So, you know, Boston. I like Boston. It was nice. It was cool. Seemed like a good place to be. The traffic seems ridiculous.
The traffic is people who drive in Boston.
Yeah, we didn't drive.
Traffic.
We took the train.
It's
but even the
traffic.
Train and like the train stations and that were kind of overcrowded. The suburbs. I mean, leaving Gillette Stadium after Springsteen was outrageous.
Everything. Well, that's because that is like you feel like Foxborough's kind of in a little middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But there's only like one road.
Yeah, they have this one little road and that goes to Gillette Stadium, which, you know, they very smartly, and you hear this a lot with stadiums, they built a whole outdoor mall where Gillette Stadium is. Yeah. And I think that's good because if you're going to develop the land, why build for a thing that's going to be used 10 times a year for football games? And I guess they have soccer there and they have the occasional concert.
Yeah, but it's you're getting more use out of it. Yeah,
so
it's a giant, like, mall.
The Detroit equivalent, if you're a Detroit or a Michigan person, would be like the Fountain Walk in Novi or
Partridge Creek,
some combination of those two. They have a lot of hotels out there at Patriot Place. So when we went to Springsteen, that, by the way, don't walk around. And I told Kevin this. I go, you know, when you see Springsteen, you're not supposed to walk around for 5 hours because you're going to be standing for four hours at Springsteen and it's exhausting. And then you have to walk into fucking through Patriot Place and all the goddamn people having Five Guys and stuff and to get into this goddamn thing. And it's exhausting. So, boy, that was a tough day to get through. But Springsteen put on a great show. It was the last show of the tour. Did 4 hours and 3 minutes, I think, officially, which was his third longest show of all time. Didn't quite break the record, but came close. Kevin, who had never seen Bruce and really wasn't a fan, and he goes, I'm kind of just going for the spectacle of it. He had a seat in the he was in the cheap seats. I had a real good seat down on the floor.
Yeah.
But Kevin had a cheap seat. Afterwards, I said, boy, that's probably too long for you. You probably didn't like this. I loved it. It was great. I thought it was a great show. Bruce played. I didn't know he played as much guitar as he did and thought that was good. Right. So Kevin had a great time. So, yeah. And so we had a good time, and then we sat in traffic for an hour and a half on the way home. The hotel was about 12 miles from the stadium, and it took 90 minutes to get back. So, and then I drove Kevin back to Providence the next morning. He had to get on an early train. So we only got about 5 hours sleep. And then I had, from Providence, I think it was on the map, a 12-hour drive from Providence to Detroit. And I decided I'll break it up. I got a room in Niagara Falls for cheap, in the Canada side of Niagara Falls. And that took me 9 fucking hours to get through, which was too long. Part of it is that the New York State Thruway. Let me talk about the New York State Thruway for a second.
Okay.
The New York State Thruway can fucking suck my balls right now. Here's why. It's 65 miles an hour, and there's a cop about every mile and a half.
Yeah.
So, basically, they can pull anyone over at any time.
Yeah.
If you travel at regular highway speeds. So, the whole time you're driving on the New York State Thruway, you're completely paranoid that you're going to get a ticket. It's just not a comfortable drive that way. It's very scenic. It's efficient. There's a goddamn rest area every 30 miles. You can pull over and text about every 30 miles on top of that. You know, they have little areas where it says it's a text stop. It's not a rest stop in that there's no bathroom, but you can pull over and use your phone or whatever, which is very convenient and probably, is some initiative to save lives and all that stuff, and I'm all for that. But for fuck's sake, it needs to be 70 on a fucking interstate. It just needs to be. You can't sit there and pull over every fucking person you see for going 65 when it's really not even safe to go 65 when people are going 70, 75, 80 on the freeway.
Well,
that's just oppression. That's just a police state. And it's not cool. It's just not, you know, Ohio for a long time had 65 mile an hour speed limit.
Yeah.
And they have cops everywhere. Well, Ohio came to their senses and instituted a 70 mile an hour speed limit for a lot of their freeways now. And thank fucking God they did. Because it just makes it that much easier to travel. Look, I like to travel at about 73 miles an hour.
Okay.
I know that's a specific thing, but when you're setting your cruise control, you look and see what you set it at. And I set it at about 73.
What temperature do you like your soup at?
It's 72 in here right now. So that's the temperature I like. Well, listen, I've been a road comic for years. I know what's a good speed.
I like to drive at 73 miles an
hour. Well, with my vehicle, I like to travel at 73 miles an hour. Okay. It's a comfortable speed. When it's 65, they can get you for going 8 over.
Yeah.
You know, when it's 70, they're going to have to pull you over for 3 over, and they're not even going to bother. So the paranoia you get, at least I get, from traveling in a 65-mile-an-hour fucking highway zone, and there's some states that have 75-mile-an-hour speed limits now. So it's ridiculous to have a 65. And, of course, I have to drive all the way from Albany to fucking through Buffalo, and that's a good 7-something hours.
It takes forever.
It takes forever. And when you're paranoid about how fast you can go, it's even worse.
No, I've driven the upstate New York, and it's through the Finger Lakes.
Fuck the thruway.
All right.
And fuck that.
All right.
But I did save some time, I guess, not going through Erie, Pennsylvania and going through. But I went to Niagara Falls, got a cheap hotel room. Now, I don't know if it's just Niagara Falls, because Niagara Falls is kind of run down and weird and scummy. You ever go there with your wife to Niagara Falls?
I have been to Niagara Falls, but I've not gone.
You and your wife should go. You might have a good time
with
there.
With my bride. Well, no, you got to go to the Canadian side.
Yeah, you go to Canadian side. That's what I mean. You can go tonight. They have shit on the American side of Niagara Falls, but it's not as cool.
I have not been in a long time.
When you're on the New York side of Niagara Falls, driving over to Canadian side, you just go, yeah, it looks cool over there. Let's go there, you know? So, I booked this room for like $70, and I get there, and I'm not expecting much, and I get to the hotel. It's a little rundown, but I'm like, okay, this was built in the 70s or something, but it's $70, and it's right by. I can walk to the falls from here. It's cool. And I get there, and I'm like, go to my room. I'm on the top floor. It's a sixth-floor hotel. I think it was the Clifton Victoria Inn. I have a jacuzzi tub in the room and a fireplace, and I go, oh, this is nice. Not a jacuzzi tub in the bathroom, in the fucking, you know, 2 feet from the bed. So I don't know if all of the rooms are like the honeymoon suite at this hotel, and maybe that's just how they rolled in the 70s. But I was like, oh, look at me getting the fucking deluxe room for $70. So that was nice.
All right.
I sat in a jacuzzi tub and watched Monday Night Football.
Well,
that was a good time. And I went to the falls and took pictures.
Oh.
And if you believe me, if you want to meet, now here's the thing, Corey. If you want to meet people, let's say you want to meet people from every country in the world, you can get on a plane and take a boat and take a train and walk and go everywhere. Or you can go to Niagara Falls for about 20 minutes.
There you go.
There are more goddamn foreigners in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
And it's not in a bad way, but there are people.
No, generally when you say there are goddamn foreigners.
No, I'm not saying that in a pejorative sense.
Generally not in a.
I'm not saying in a pejorative sense there's goddamn foreigners, but
there's these greaseball dirtbags. I don't mean that in a bad way.
In the best of way. If you want
to
see the Japs, the Pakis, the Euro trash, you want to see some South American scumbags.
Was this on side two?
Some Beanas.
Was this on side two of Delirious?
Yeah, it's on.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah, it was on the Dice album, yeah.
The Niagara Falls was on my cock. Okay.
But I kind of like the sleazy parts of
Niagara
Falls.
I just want to get a cotton candy.
I like Clifton Hill, which is the real tourist thing. Where
I loved Clifton Hill. He was such a great actor.
He did
all those great westerns.
If you go there, there's like just like all these haunted houses and arcades. And, you know.
Yeah, putt-putt golf.
Putt-putt golf and candy stores and wax museums and all kinds
of
crazy
shit. You know what? I'd
like
to do a review. We should do a video review. They're far apart, but
What's that?
Niagara Falls versus Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
I think they're probably similar. Niagara Falls is real tough.
Gatlinburg,
gateway
to the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, I think they'd be similar.
They're very similar.
Knoxville, Tennessee has some of that stuff too.
Like if you want to like play a game where, you know, like one of those air gun, like light gun games.
What about Branson, Missouri?
About that. Oh, you know, I've always wanted to go to Branson.
Well, we should
kind
do
of
that.
A dream. I want to go to see
and live the dream.
Yeah, I want to see. I want to see Yakov. Obviously.
We see Yakov Smirnoff, and yeah. I think that
Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens. I think he's got
a
theater.
Doesn't
wait. Just wait.
I think Tony Orlando is there. That's who we should see. We should see Tony Orlando.
You know what? I got to say, I could have never given two shits about Tony Orlando.
Yeah.
My entire life, I thought, what is this greaseball hack and this Petey Rican slap nuts. And then I see him on, I heard him on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast,
yeah.
And I found him to be a delight.
He's great, and he was great on, he did Stern years ago. It was on probably, I think, the E! Show. If you watch that, Tony Orlando's funny. He met everybody.
He
was in there.
Yeah, he was.
He was standing just off stage when Dean and Jerry reunited at the telethon, and he told that story.
I think.
And didn't Dean say fuck him after or something?
Yeah. He was a complete delight.
Yeah, Tony Orlando.
Tony Orlando was a pleasure to listen.
Yeah, he was great. I would imagine Branson, Missouri is similar to Niagara Falls, but. I think you and your wife would have a good time in Niagara Falls. You don't need to go there for like two nights, maybe. Tops. That's enough.
You know, I mean, I don't know if we're going to.
I know you guys are too sophisticated. And there's, you know, I'm sure there's a food blog that has Niagara Falls, so you guys can find your way that way. I know that's how you guys roll.
Look.
I know.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I'm
I know that's. I know you and your wife will go and find the best, you know, artisanal donuts.
Yes.
And coffee shops.
Go ahead. Call me a snob.
It's fine.
You know
but Niagara Falls is not that. But
I'm not spending thousands of dollars on fucking Springsteen, the most boring music in the world.
Thousands of dollars. It's not,
how many shows did you fucking see of Springsteen this year?
Eight.
When did you turn 58?
I saw
eight. God, what is the Springsteen thing?
They're good shows. They're all
they're always
different. And
it is. I am the soul of ambivalence towards Bruce Springsteen.
Well, that's fine. No one fucking wants you to be. Ugh. We only want you to be you.
What would bore you?
And it'd be nice if you weren't an asshole.
That would be nice. Joel, what can I bore you with? What can I talk about at great length that you don't care about?
I talked about Springsteen for 30 seconds on today's show.
No, 30 seconds. That was 18 minutes. Look at the tape.
Please.
Your trip highlights were 18 minutes of show. All right. I will
detail.
I've been
talking about Niagara Falls for 10 minutes.
I'm going to LA in next month and then
in
November.
Fun. Knock yourself out.
I'll detail everything we did.
What are you going to do in LA?
I'm going to try and probably hit a couple comedy clubs.
Okay.
So I'll give you a report back.
That's fine. That's no problem.
I'm going to try and some kind of comedy rooms at least.
Right.
Check out some stuff.
Okay.
Hit up a bunch of friends. I'm going to a wedding.
Okay.
Is the real reason we're going, but we're going to.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do some touristy stuff. I don't know. I've never
all
been.
Right.
I've never gone to the La Brea Tar Pits.
So you
go to that.
You at your friend's wedding is going to be a laugh riot. That's what's going to be talked about on the show. That's going to be fucking.
No, I'm not going to break down what we have. What? Well, I don't know. I should have had the fish instead of the chicken. I'm not going to do that.
Well, when did I do that?
You need a girlfriend or something to talk to.
That's fine. All right.
I
talked about going. Okay, wait a minute.
Let's do
Here's
some couples
the
therapy.
I talked.
You
about,
and I will go to Branson.
Yeah,
and we'll go to the Ray Stevens Theater.
Listen, when I talked about going on the East Coast tour, that's Kevin, who I've been in touch with years.
That is your girlfriend.
Heard the show and wanted to join me on this.
Kevin was always cool to me. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, Kevin's a good guy. So Kevin wanted to hang out. He's a fan of the show. He says the show is funny, and so there you go. But I think Niagara Falls, I'd like to hear your reaction to Niagara Falls.
I haven't been there in years.
I'm sure it's trashy. It's trashy in a fun way.
You know, I think much like Eddie Murphy's act, I think Niagara Falls is something that I, you know, as a kid, you love.
No, you might enjoy it as an adult.
When I was, you know, when I was like 12, there was nothing I wanted more than like ski ball.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, I didn't go to the ski ball on this
show.
No,
but I'm saying
it's there.
That kind of stuff. I loved those cheese ball attractions and the haunted houses and the, you know.
And the souvenir shops and all that stuff.
Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where I went many times as a kid because my great aunt lived in Kentucky and they liked to go down there. would is a total cheese ball like. Yeah. You want to play like light gun games where you shoot the jar off a hillbilly's head.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had that. A lot of that going on, uh-huh. And it was like...
Yeah. It's something to see, though. I think, I mean, not only is it the, you know, and one of the eight natural wonders of the world, you then have this man-made freak show all around it.
None of which relates
to... Which is crazy.
Which, none of it has anything to do with the falls.
Well, it's just, I figure they just, I think their thing is like, we've got all these people coming.
Right. We might
and
as well.
And they've got
them.
Kids, so why not? I mean, it'd be cool if Niagara Falls was Vegas and there were strip clubs everywhere, but there's not even,
you know? Frankly, the falls is like about an hour where you just go there and go, oh, look at that. That's cool. Water. So
well,
somehow
the,
they've
the,
got all
the
these.
The Maid of the Mist is cool. I've been on that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went there with a girlfriend 6-7 years ago, and we actually went to one of the wax museums, which was pretty fun because, you know, if you go to the wax museum when nobody's there, you have unfettered access to that. You know what I mean? You don't have to wait in line to sit there at Oprah's next to Oprah on the fake Oprah set.
What was I?
And
where is it? It's in like Nyack or somewhere. It's in some upstate New York. I saw in Svengoolie, there's a guy that operates a wax museum that's just all horror.
Okay. Well, I think there's one of those in Niagara Falls as well. That's like the horror museum. There's one wax museum that's just rock and roll. It's called the Rockin'... I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
And then there's, like... there's two, like, kind of general-purpose wax museums.
Okay.
And, you know, it's always interesting who's going to be out front. Because when I went, like, 6 years ago...
The wax museum... Are
they
we
put
not,
one
we not
guy
past,
out.
Are we not past that
no,
technology?
No. Well, listen. I have pictures from 6 years ago where I'm in bed with John and Yoko.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a DeLorean, a Back to the Future DeLorean, with a wax Marty standing outside. You know, just all kinds of stupid shit.
I know, but it's like, that's totally a tourist attraction where, and if you go, and there's, you know, Madame Tussauds, if you go to, you know, London or Madame Tussauds, what's
there's
the
one in New York, there's a bunch
there's
of
one
those.
In New York, too.
Yeah, and there's one in London,
There's one in London.
And I think the one in Niagara Falls is Louis Tussauds, so I don't know if it's a offshoot, or that's the
it's
one
like
I went to.
Knockoff.
Yeah.
And then you go to the, have you been to the Tower of London?
Yes.
With the dungeon and all the stupid, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They got guys.
They show you what it was like
back
in the day to be tortured.
That's some touristy. God, is that some touristy crap.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's fun. And
well, maybe I'll go
basis.
To the La Brea Tar Pits, which I've never gone to.
So Niagara Falls, and then I drove home, but I was gone all in all like 5 days, you know, four.
It's a long drive.
Yeah, it was a lot of driving. It was too much driving.
I have done that drive, and it's...
Yeah, it's like going to New York isn't even that bad, but the way I did it, like Pittsburgh and then to the Jersey Shore and then up to Jersey, it was too much. And then, you know, New York to Boston isn't that bad, but again, I went kind of the long way because I had to go through Blauvelt, and you know, going back, Providence wasn't too far, but it just everything added time. And you're tired. I was getting up early every day, and you know, I'm not the king of getting up early. I have not mastered that. You know, My schedule as a comedian and working at a comedy club does not allow me to get up all that early, so that's tough. Getting 5 hours sleep and driving 9 hours is not fun. So anyway, and the other thing about my trip, which again you're going to hate, but I was very disappointed to find I tried to eat and stick to my diet, and aside from the clam chowder, that was my only thing where I went like, hey, I'm going to eat at like a tourist restaurant or whatever. Because I did bring my own food and tried to eat it as best I could. But, you know, and not having, you know, adequate kitchen facilities, I was making, like, rice-a-roni with coffee maker water, you know, because I didn't even have a microwave in some of these places. So, you know, I did eat some, you know, I stopped at the Thruway for Roy Rogers mashed potatoes and gravy, because that was the only thing I could eat at the Roy Rogers at the Thruway rest area. So, you know, I did break my strictly vegan, you know, no sugar, no salt, no oil kind of diet. And I came home 2 pounds heavier than when I left. Now, I was really pissed off and angry and go, oh, fuck, I'm 208. I left. I was 206. I actually dropped about, what did I drop then? 5.5 pounds since I've been home in 4 days. So.
Well, you are dropping
So I
weight.
Came right back, and now I'm now 204. 203.8 today. So... That's officially 40 pounds. So there you go. So again, my body did not respond well on a diet on the road, but I think that was a lot of the sleeping, a lot of the walking, all that exercise. My body was maybe retaining fluid that when I got home and could chill out a little bit, got rid of. So, yeah, right. 40 pounds. Halfway through my 90 days. So
okay.
Oh, and I think last time on the show I said my 90 days is up November 12th. And when I was doing the math the other day, I go, boy, that seems too long. And, of course, my math was off. It's November 1st. So there you go. Even sooner.
There you go.
The 90 days is up. So anyway. And then one last thing about the show, one last little update from the last one. Number one, I've still, no one's followed up on the Banksy thing with me. I've reached out to Banksy experts.
If you missed,
well, the guy who wrote that article, I commented on his blog, and I haven't heard back about the evidence that I found. If you missed my Banksy investigation, listen to the last half hour of the last show. It was probably better than the first half hour of this show. So listen to that. And then, but we were talking about how the air conditioner was freaking out. Well, it turns out it seems like the power grid was going bad in my neighborhood.
Well, this is Ferndale.
Yeah, which isn't surprising. But
when I lived in Ferndale, we would every summer lose electricity.
Well, we had a big blackout. We had a big blackout.
Yeah.
Six, 7 years ago. And they replaced some major piece of something. We haven't had problems since. But then the other day, and it was very localized. So I ordered a new air conditioner, thinking the air conditioner was going out. Mm-hmm. Turns out that really probably wasn't the case, but I bought this new air conditioner. So that's in the window now.
There you go.
Which is nice. But then the power got even worse, and it made my computer freak out, and I lost my Windows install. Basically, I think the sectors that the Windows boot partition was on died. I had to get too nerdy on this. But for days, it was down.
Sometimes I want a drop. I just miss that Star Trek computer music.
Yes. So anyway, I lost. So I had to spend many, many hours troubleshooting this computer on my phone and reinstalling Windows and doing some command-lined Windows prompts to try to rehab the disk, which it all worked out, but I did have to reinstall all my programs, so it's a big pain in the ass. Oh, one more thing about the air conditioner. You know, Steve Miller was in here when he promoted his book, Juggalo. And this is what he wrote about on his blog about going out promoting the show and the media response to his book.
Including the incredible tour stop in the Joel Radio studios.
Well, he talked about that. This is what he said about he blogged about coming on Joel Radio. Yeah. Well, it's like, first he says the New York Post did a very fair assessment of the book. Blah, blah, blah. I've done a few radios and podcasts. I did a podcast with Brian Denny, who creates episodes that are sneaky, good, and smart. And then he said, I could talk all day with Joel Fragomeni, a.k.a. Upchuck the Clown, and did his podcast for the second time just as the book hit. To tape the episode, you sit in his freezing cold bedroom that is full of cool audio gear, books, and assorted knickknacks. The air conditioner must be one of those high-end models because it cranks to Arctic and Joel doesn't flinch. The guy must be a polar bear in disguise. So his coming in.
Now that you're losing weight, have you noticed that you're more cold susceptible?
Oh, I feel good. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm more cold. I'll know when it's cold out.
Yeah.
I'll know when it's cold out. Well, I always leave the AC on because I find when you and I get in here and our hot air and just like the board generates heat and things, I like to turn the AC
on. I'm always
up.
Hot because I'm overweight.
Yeah.
I'm always hot. My wife, and then if I put the air on, my wife gets cold.
Well, girls get chilly
because
all the heat escapes from their vaginas, right?
Yes, it all
it all bleeds right out of
it. Well, and I would think Amy is structured in a way that would be better. But what happens with women is their extremities get cold. Because all the blood.
Let me ask you this. And again, I'm not common. Please.
No.
I'm not insulting your wife.
No, but she gets cold.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because this is the study, and I don't know if you know. I know nothing about this. Yes. I haven't done any, but maybe you would know. Are her breasts losing heat?
No.
More
it's
quickly
not the
than
the feet.
A breast?
It's the feet and
the
hands.
Breasts don't get cold. It's the.
No, because what happens is
all the blood is in the tits.
All the blood is in the. In women in general. The blood is in the torso to keep the baby warm.
Well, wouldn't the blood be in the tits to feed the baby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. All the heat is retained in the torso.
Those tits are warm.
Yeah, they're very warm.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
are warm.
No, I'm saying, but her legs and, you know what I mean? She'll get her feet and hands will get cold. Which, by the way, and it's been a long time since I've had, evidence in the field of this, But in my memory, all women get cold.
So skinny girls, fat girls,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
Pretty much.
Big tits, little tits.
I've run the gamut in size and weight classes.
They're all cold.
Yeah.
They all need it. They all, every girl should have brought a sweater before they left
one
the house.
One or two girls would be cool and not notice it. But like, I dated one girl that like in, you know, it'd be like June 25th and her hands would be popsicles.
Yeah. I have an ex that, would not, had air conditioning in her apartment, but wouldn't turn it on.
Because it was, yeah.
She was just like, I don't like air conditioning. I'm opposed to it. Right. And I don't know if it was an environmental thing. I've known those people, too. Like, I knew a guy who, like, his dad was anti-air conditioning, so he became anti-air conditioning. And, like, in his car, he wouldn't run the air. In his fucking car, he wouldn't run the air. And I was like, you fucking dick. Why are you not running the air in the car? Well, it's a fucking car. You're generating the fucking electricity. Just fucking run the air conditioning.
Yeah.
You dick.
Well.
Anyway. You got to run the air.
No, I hear you.
Look at this. Look at this air conditioner. It's blowing all the way across the room. All over.
Yeah, no,
the,
it is. It's working well.
It's working well. So anyway. All right, let's move on here.
All right.
I know. Now, this was the big internet sensation of the week, I think, and I missed out.
I can't
out.
Keep up with all the internet sensations.
Well, this is the newest one. This is the newest one. It is Corey Feldman's musical performance.
Oh,
on
yes. Well,
now,
we've had requests to discuss it.
And maybe because I was very busy this week and traveling and whatever the fuck I was doing, I missed this. And now, granted, I stopped watching the Today Show, and I've explained that in the past, but... they allowed Corey Feldman has some album out, and they allowed him on. And Corey, you know, was like, you got to see Corey Feldman. We got to talk about it on the show, blah, blah, blah. I think one of our fans, what's that guy's name? Michael something posted on the Facebook page about it.
Yeah, Mike Arion.
Yeah, Mike and you know, thank you, Mike, for your comments.
I will see Mike when I'm in L.A.
Okay.
So cool. He will.
So anyway, Michael says, you know, review Corey Feldman, blah, blah, blah. And here's my issue to it. Here's my only issue with this. And I have not watched the Corey Feldman performance. But my feeling with this is it's kind of just there to goof on. The reason this exists is for people to get their yucks. And I kind of feel like I feel about something like the Sharknado movies. Like, you don't really see funny, smart people making fun of Sharknado. Maybe the first one.
Well,
but what you find is you find a lot of hacks.
I found they did, Riff Trax did the Sharknado.
Okay.
And I said, no, guys, you're kind of overdoing it.
Yeah, it like, just seems like.
Like you're already making fun of bad movies. This one is making fun of itself.
You know, yeah, it's good to make fun of something that people have made hoping it's good. So I don't know that this Corey Feldman thing is any I don't even know if Corey Feldman expects this thing to be good. So Corey has twisted my arm.
Mm-hmm.
Corey has bent my ear. Maybe this is some penance.
The people demand it.
Maybe this is some penance for talking about going to Bruce Springsteen's childhood home. But I will not watch.
Did you see where he was swaddled as a babe? Did you see where they fed him pea soup as a boy? All right, go ahead. I'm trying to think if there's anybody whose home I would like to go to of, like... any celebrity.
Well, if you went to Liverpool, would you go to the Beatles' homes? That you can tour them. They are considered they are historic monuments.
Would
England.
I go to Menlove Avenue? Or
yeah, any of the, I mean, there's a few
what,
of them. Yeah,
what,
I forget the name.
I can't
of
remember
them right
Paul's.
Now, yeah, yeah.
I love how they have names. They were all like,
well, and well,
you know, I went to Grovershire and
Mendips.
Bobby
well,
Mendips.
It's very it's common. That was John's home. It's common.
Menlove Avenue. Yeah.
It's common in England to name your home in a yes. way that it's not in America. So people,
well, I do that too with
you lived in the monkey house.
Yes, I do that too. I'll call my in-laws' house Muffin Top.
is that after your mother-in-law or something?
No, it's just a you know, it's just a.
What is this? This is the Jewel Radio Studios.
Yeah, we haven't really
the Palatial Jewel Radio.
We've never
Studios.
Named this house.
It's the Palatial Jewel Radio Studios. That's the name of it.
This is the Broadcastle. This is the
the broadcast.
The House of Ladies. It's
no, well, I kind
of
like
Joel's
that.
House of Ladies.
I think they broadcast out of this castle.
Yeah,
the broadcast. Or I could say lady.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me go over to the YouTube. Oh, this is I think this is today's website. I went right to the source here on this one. Let's see here. Corey Feldman. Now I did watch before you got here. I watched Billy Bush and the broad on there interview him, and you know, and the interview came off real douchey. He was talking about his influences of Michael Jackson and these people. So here we go. Corey Feldman performs "Go For It" live on Today. So here it is for my first look at the Corey Feldman Today Show performance here on Joel Radio. Listen in. I'm going to put the mic up next.
Describe Corey Feldman. He's wearing a black hoodie and he's mincing. Is the best word you can say about it, mincing. He's doing kind of a robot-y move. The girls behind him are dressed as angels. They've got pink halos and they're wearing like silver dresses with wings. Now he's doing some pantomime, knee-jerky, kind of... Make you beg for mercy, still nobody noticed them. Just when you think it's all over, no hope in life, so what you gonna do? Do you want initial thoughts?
Yeah, wait, no, it's gonna get into the breakdown. Well, hold on.
There's three minutes left of this shit show.
Yeah, he starts like hip hopping in a minute.
I'm going to pause this for 1 second. I want to give my initial thoughts.
Okay.
This is not my complete thoughts because apparently something's going to happen.
Again, I need a drop.
Yeah.
Because I know thoughts. A drop that we can play right for
the. Okay, here's my initial thoughts.
Yeah.
He can't dance and he can't sing.
No.
Aside from that, the song's fantastic.
Other than that, it's great.
I mean, I honestly don't have a problem with it other than.
So these are Corey's angels? Is that the story?
I don't know what they
are. No, because remember he did like Celebrity Wife Swap or something.
Okay.
And he had like
girls his, he lived
he had like
with
three girls that lived in the house with him and like
so yeah. I mean so far I mean it's clearly not an act that should be on television, but the fact that he's famous gets it here,
right?
It's not good by any measure. Is it the worst thing I've ever seen? No, but let's see where it goes. Stop until we reach the top.
It's pretty bad.
Since I'm miking it, I'm hoping you can give some commentary or occasional thoughts so the audience isn't completely bored by this.
I think people overreacted about how stupid this is because it's not. Look, it's bad.
The girls are good looking.
He looks kind of like a really fey Dracula, and he's doing some Michael Jackson-y moves. He's, look at this. Oh, he's really trying to MJ it up here. It's kind of interesting that he's parodying. Oh, here we go. Now he's got a rapper.
This is the legendary Doc Ice, according to the Today Show website.
He looks like Fred Rerun Barry. I mean, he's dressed in like... He's got like a white Kangol and a white vest over a red shirt.
Did he pay 29 or 2 for 50?
I know,
for that
he looks
vest.
Like Mr. Allen's. Pele Pele.
It's Bernie Mac's House of Black Comedian Suits.
Yo Feldman. That's one of my all-time favorite sketches. Okay. Just bad dance moves. Yeah. I guess my thought is that if there was a best version of this song, I still wouldn't like it.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, if that was done by a competent musical performer,
I still wouldn't.
You know what I mean?
That.
Like
yeah.
The backing track in that could be some Katy Perry song or
sure.
something, or some Taylor Swift song, I guess, or somebody like that. But yeah, I mean, he's clearly not, you know, he's not good at music. And look, I'm not good at music. And I'm sure if I was, you know, he shouldn't do this.
question.
But I guess, I mean, I guess he can't act either. Is that the problem with him now? Is
yeah, he could.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he was a. Here's the tragedy of Corey Feldman is.
Yeah.
One, I've had to deal with that bullshit. I've had to, my young days growing up in the '80s, I was haunted by both those dickheads. The golden days of the Coreys.
People
were like,
was it better to be named Corey then or named Corey now?
Well, there's no one.
I mean,
I am the oldest guy named Corey other than Corey Feldman, I think.
Well, no one gave their, once those two guys became douchebags, no one names their kid Corey anymore.
No, there hasn't been a name. I don't know.
No one uses the name
Corey
anymore. Yeah.
No, it all occurred between like 1973 and 1984.
Yeah, because you're probably the same age as him.
Yeah, we're probably about the same.
You're probably the same age, and so you guys were all named Corey.
He might be a year or two older.
In the mid-70s, they were naming people Corey, and you got.
Apparently, it was Johnny Carson's son.
Oh, okay.
And then that gave that sort of started the thing. Oh. It is weird because there's no old guys named Corey.
No.
There's no 70-year-old named Corey anywhere.
And, you know, like, you know, there's, when I was a kid, there was 10 million Jennifers.
Sure.
And Jennifer came from Love Story.
Right. Jennifer and
there
Katie.
There's no Jennifers before the 70s.
Jennifer and Katie are real popular.
Yeah. Jennifer, I don't think is even popular anymore.
It had
but
a,
at the time,
was
in the 70s.
It was ubiquitous.
There was, and then when I was in school, there were 20 Jennies.
Sure.
In my graduating class, probably.
Yeah.
It was just the most common girl's name. And there were none before the movie Love Story because that was the character's name.
Yeah.
It was an unusual name at the time.
Well, so Ellie McGraw.
There's going to be lots of Rihannas born in the next 20 years.
Oh.
Well, here's my thing. Part of the thing that makes this outrageous is that the Today Show put this on. Now, look, when I scroll through, here's the other Today Show musical acts that they're asking me that I can now watch on the same page. The Griswolds, Nash and Olivia O'Brien, 9 Days, and Jacob Whitesides. I've never heard of any of them.
Well,
I don't know that Corey Feldman is that low on the totem pole when it comes to musical
having
acts.
Any expectations of the Today Show
is
a ghost of a simpler time. We were talking about how we're getting out of touch.
Yeah.
I think expecting the Today Show to have news content is a ghost of a different
time. I'm just saying, even if you're going to have musical performances on the Today Show,
somebody
we've heard of.
That Today Show is hot buttered garbage.
It is so bad.
It is like, it is a cunt hair away from being Mario Lopez.
Well, they've got Billy Bush on there.
I know.
That they got all the douchebags from those shows on there now.
Maybe I should have not used
it. And Carson Daly.
In delicate language.
But here's the thing. It's funny. Like, you know, Good Morning America and the Today Show were both like hard news shows for at least the first hour, and then they'd soften it up and do a cooking segment later.
Sure.
And then it's like one got softer. And they got a little rating boost. So the other one said, oh, you think you can get soft? We'll get softer than you. And then they got a little ratings boost. And then the other one went, we're going to show cat videos. We'll get a ratings boost. And the other one, we got your fucking panda videos. You got your cat videos. And now it's just complete fucking drivel on both of them. It's a race to the bottom.
I'll tell you when this television died.
Yeah.
The day they started with the Twitter wall.
Yeah, once you start reading your Twitter, you're done.
That's when television news is
what
over.
What is a person? Now, I know, like, my parents, I can, you know, it's my dad and my stepmom at this point. I believe my stepmom might actually read Twitter.
Okay.
She might actually have a Twitter and read that. I don't know. I know she has a Facebook.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder what an old person who doesn't know what Twitter is, when that Twitter wall comes up on a show like this, people just go, like, what the fuck is this?
I don't know.
Do they enjoy? Because I, as a person who looks at Twitter on a daily basis, when the Twitter wall comes out, I go, I don't give a fuck about this. I can see all of this stuff times 10 in a tenth of the time by opening my phone or my computer and looking at Twitter. Instead, I have to read these bubblehead fucking anchors are reading it.
Okay. To me, the only value of Twitter is that occasionally I will. A handful of times, like Mark Maron responded to me. And
okay, no, that's fine.
You know, a couple times, like, you can actually tweet someone directly.
Yes.
And depending on who they are, they might actually respond to you.
But and
that's kind of cool.
The thing about
Twitter. That's about the only value.
Here's the thing about Twitter that has value, is you blow through about 100 posts in 10 seconds, if you want.
Yes.
You go through, you read, this looks interesting, I click on this, looks interesting, I click on this. You don't have to listen to some moron read the thing, and then they have to have their commentary on it. It's so stupid.
Well, it used to be that we had things like, we determined the success or failure of something.
Yes.
Based on financial reward.
Yeah.
Did someone buy your book?
Yeah.
Okay, the book sold. Did someone watch your television show? It got ratings.
Yeah.
Now it's all Twitter responses.
It used to be that, you know, these news channels would say, this is what we think is important. So these shows would have a point of view on some level. At least in, not even saying that they had editorial content, like they would have a political point of view, but what they chose to show and not show.
Well, that's political too.
Showed, you know, gave you a feel for the show. Now it's like, well, whatever, we go on YouTube, we look at the trending videos, and we show you those. Well, that's YouTube's job. That's not your job.
We're not better off having the internet.
Not at all. And that's the same argument people make about, you know, the Facebook news feed. Should a person pick the Facebook news feed, or should the
computer? There's a big controversy because they fired the editorial staff of the Facebook news feed and turned it over to the algorithm.
Yeah.
Because some of these alt-right slappies like Milo Yiannopoulos and all these guys who got kicked off Twitter, by the way, for harassing Leslie Jones. And I personally believe that someday we will reach equality in this country when Leslie Jones' gender and skin color are not as important as her being brutally unfunny.
Okay.
I hope that someday we achieve that.
Okay.
But, you know, when you start having, when you start letting Twitter direct you and Facebook... Facebook is not a news operation. No.
Well, I thought the Facebook thing was they were removing Trump things. Like, Trump stuff would trend, and then the Facebook editors would go, like, fuck this Trump shit.
Well,
not
they were
show
alleging,
people.
I don't know exactly what, but they were alleging a liberal bias in the editing of Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what, you know, Facebook is now at a point where you can't even, I think, determine what the users of Facebook, you know what I mean? Like, any other product, you can go, well, the people who read Pitchfork probably fit into this demo.
Well, they see what people click on and they tailor
it to... But Facebook is such a...
Well, they try to narrowcast it to just you.
Right.
So when you click on this, it trends up. When you respond to somebody's Facebook status, you will see more of them. Unless you choose the all... Let me ask you this. When you your Facebook feed, is it the newest feed or is it the most important feed? Or do you not even know?
That, let me look.
Mine is done by importance.
How
meaning
you,
that?
Wait, you can set that in the settings.
You can set it in the settings, basically, because my thing is like the people that I interact with the most. When I open up Facebook and visit it for the first time in the day or whatever, in several hours or whatever, it will always show me your posts. Like Corey and I interact a lot on Facebook, so it'll always show me Corey posts, or it'll always show me those people that I interact with a lot on Facebook, or people who have liked their stuff. If you do it by newest, then you just get everybody that you follow just in chronological order. Because Twitter works like that. Twitter is strictly chronological, I believe. I don't know if Twitter has another way
to say
it.
Well, occasionally I'll start getting people that will pop up in my feed that are tangential to my life. And I'll say, why am I getting the notifications about these people?
Well, I think you must have it set to importance then. Because basically, if one of my friends gets like 300 likes on some status, I will see that repeatedly throughout the day.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually based on who I
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I mean, it's based on. But what I'm saying, in addition to who you personally like, if all of your friends are reacting to something, it will pop that in there too. Twitter does a version of this on their mobile site where it'll say things you might like, meaning people you follow, and it is a little
well. You know,
hunk of Twitter. That's
Hulu and Amazon, and actually Amazon's pretty terrible at it. But
they suggest things. Yeah,
the video service aren't.
Yeah,
they're not good at suggesting.
Well,
the shop is good at suggesting.
Yeah, but they also
Amazon will list all kinds of stuff.
They also are going by what's popular at the time. So whatever the number one show on Netflix is, whether you've had any predilection to like that show. Or any desire in that genre. Well, Orange is the New Black is always going to be at the top of your Facebook when that comes out, or face your top of your Netflix.
Well, those are also the shows they're promoting.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, let's move on. That was...
look, Corey Feldman.
Oh, okay, so Corey Feldman, the back to Corey Feldman.
Hey, but Corey Feldman's never done anything good, so why would you expect...
No, I think people... Look, I think that was bad. I agree that it's bad. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Is it the worst celebrity musical performance? Probably still not even in that regard. I didn't laugh a lot. It wasn't, like, funny in any way to me. You know, I don't know. I mean, you told me about, you got caught up. You told me before the last show we did that I needed to see Ann Coulter at the Rob Lowe roast.
Yes.
And that this was going to blow my mind. It was an incredible, the way that she bombed and everyone turned on her. And we watched it before the show. And I went like, there's nothing here.
Well, I don't know.
She didn't
they
do well. She's not a comic.
They might have sweetened the laughs a little bit.
Whatever. I mean, it was.
I thought she got a bad reaction, and I think what was interesting about the Ann Coulter thing. I mean, obviously she's going to get torn up, and all the roasters.
Look, people hate Ann Coulter, and she's there to be made fun of. But I felt like Ann Coulter is. Here's the thing. Here's what you told me when you said watch Ann Coulter. Okay, it's 1985. Mm-hmm. Joel, we're at Cobo Arena in Detroit. Joel, a Russian guy is going to come out here. We're at the WWF event. There's going to be a Russian guy that's going to be waving a flag. And he's going to sing the national anthem. And I am going to be so angry at this guy, I'm going to crush my soda cup and throw it at his head. Which is exactly what they wanted
to do. No, that's her act.
That's her shtick, is to go out there and be controversial.
What I thought was interesting about it was that it was a demonstration of a non-comedian trying to do a roast.
But, you know, the jokes, I mean, even though people didn't laugh at all of her jokes, on a strictly qualitative level, the jokes weren't all bad.
Well, apparently she threw out the writers and did that herself. And
she did an okay job of it, I thought.
We disagree there. But
I mean, again, they weren't great jokes, but she's not a comedian. But I do think that the internet goes
Joel's
crazy.
Got a crush.
I think the internet's good. The internet goes crazy, and you go crazy with it, or you don't.
Well,
or you objectively look at things. And
there was Charlie Sheen mania.
Yes.
Did people expect something out of Charlie Sheen?
I think the first time I saw Charlie Sheen, I went, Charlie Sheen's actually crazy. After every Charlie Sheen appearance, I went like, okay, this is the shtick.
Right. Did that lead to people expecting great things out of the star of Two and a Half Men?
No. I mean, I don't know if anyone had any expectations.
So there's this weird concept where if someone's a celebrity, then they clearly must be smart or capable or talented.
Or that they're good at everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Which is,
and there's whole shows based on
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Dancing with the Fucking Stars is about how celebrities can't ballroom.
Celebrity Jeopardy. I mean,
well, the people on Celebrity Jeopardy are usually good.
You get dummies on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah, not as much.
You do.
The screening process is good on that. I would like to see them just put the dummies on there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Mario Lopez on Celebrity Jeopardy and get his ass kicked. I'd like to see that. But, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, is the Corey Feldman thing, the reaction, I'm doing a visual here in the studio. Imagine a bar graph. The reaction was 10th, you know, was to 100, and it's about a 20 that you should care about.
What I find really kind of profoundly sad about the Corey Feldman thing, not to suck all the funny out of the room, if there was any left, is that he's doing these Michael Jackson moves.
Yeah, that's...
And wasn't he sexually molested by Michael Jackson?
You know, he's gone back and forth on that. You know, there's a blind item that Radar Online has been running this week about an A-list celebrity actor, I believe they're saying, who molested both Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. And he is very popular today, and he's married with kids.
Which you think...
it's a blind item, and
which you think fueled their alcohol and drug addiction?
Yeah, and they claim a lot of that. So, in a way, I do feel sorry for, you know, a 13-year-old kid surrounded by chicken hawks in Hollywood. I've read some internet comments where people name the guy, and it is pretty surprising who they're naming. And it is a guy who is a household name who everybody likes. and is kind of surprising.
Well, name some names.
I'm not going to name it on the show because I don't want to slander anyone, but okay. You can look it up. If you want me to write it down, I will famously write it on a piece of paper as I'm wont to do on this
show. Your love of the gossip.
Well, should I write it down or do you not care?
Go ahead, write it down.
I'll write it down. But, you know, I mean, they're naming this guy because apparently they did a movie together in the 80s. This guy was also famous in the 80s. And you're going to go that...
Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm going to turn it... How much you miss by? You didn't. How much did you miss by? Now, I don't know.
What movie? I'm trying to think of what movie.
Go through IMDb. It's on there. Corey Haim and him did a movie. But, you know, it's...
Who is in License to Drive?
But, you know, it's... And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I hope it's not true. I do kind of like that guy. But, you know, you just go, I don't know.
Well,
and
I would say that that's a guy that probably at that time didn't have any boundaries.
That guy.
Because he was a real mess back in the 80s.
He tried some things, didn't he? Yeah. But
it's incredible to me that Fred Rogers would molest. I can't believe that he would molest Corey Haim.
But, you know, it's the same thing. It's the Cosby thing. It's the whole
Cosby
thing.
Got them, too?
Not well, no.
I didn't know he was doing
Cosby
boys.
Cosby was up to...
Okay.
All right, there's a...
There's a great Cosby joke on the Emmys.
Okay. Let me do a Cosby thing. And do your Cosby joke, and then I'm going to do a Cosby thing.
No,
we'll talk about Emmys.
Pull up the clip. Have you seen it?
No, just tell us.
Okay. Kimmel did a thing.
Because I'll take forever to find it.
All right. Should we get into the Emmys, or should we wait?
I want to tell you about... Tell me about... I told you about the... Oh. You're going to do that. I'm going to do a Cosby blind item. Then we're going to talk about the Emmys.
The Cosby joke on the Emmys, and we'll get into the Emmys again.
Imagine this is PTI. On the left side of the screen, right. It says, Cosby joke on Emmys. Joel does Cosby
blind
item.
They just, like, coming back from a commercial, they're like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bill Cosby,
okay.
Or, you know, multi-Emmy winner Dr. Bill Cosby, and then they kind of waited a couple seconds, and the crowd reacted.
Okay, so they were trying to get people to go,
they cut to, like, Ellie Kemper going, yeah. Like what the and Tina Fey was kind of like,
okay, well, that's pretty good.
And then Billy,
they faked
and then,
everybody.
And then Jimmy came out and was like, I just want to see what
so
you would say.
Good. Yeah. Here's the Cosby blind item that this is today. Now, this has already been named on that website that I plugged before, the AGC blind items. Go through our post. There's a link to it on joelradio.net. But they say that A Different World, the Cosby Show spinoff, that on that
was
show.
Was not very good.
Well, we all know that.
That's
but
not
but
a
why did it last for 10 seasons or whatever the fuck it did? That Jasmine guy had the goods on Cosby. Because Cosby did a Cosby on Jasmine guy.
Oh, I see.
So Jasmine guy.
Kept her show going?
But Jasmine guy and Debbie Allen, who was the producer of A Different World, were taking advantage of the cast, both male and female. So they were like lesbian chicken hawks. And I think with the guys, too, is what was
lesbian
being alleged.
Lesbian chicken hawks.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they were... Because you have to remember, that was set in a college. So you had all these young people, you know, rotating in and out. And that Debbie Allen and Jasmine Guy were taking advantage of the young actors on that show. That's what's being alleged in that blind item. So, I don't know. Very odd. I don't know that it's true. It is being alleged on this website. I am just relaying that information. But again, that all comes from Cosby because, you know, if you shake down Cosby for your own show, and then it's like, well, who's going to expose me?
Now,
if you expose me,
now
I
who's
can expose
believing
Cosby.
In conspiracy theories now?
I'm not. I'm just saying I'm reporting what was reported.
Okay.
I have no firsthand knowledge.
You won't. What's funny to me is you'll believe.
I've done no investigation.
You'll believe show business conspiracy theories.
No.
But if it's a political conspiracy theory, that's
I like to put them out as tantalizing things to think about.
Okay.
And the problem with a lot of the conspiracy is people actually investigate the political conspiracy series, find out that they're bullshit, and then people continue to believe them. That's my problem with those.
Well,
if you want to investigate this actor and clear him, that's fine. But you know what the problem in Hollywood is? When you hear rumors about Cosby, and you hear rumors about Charlie Sheen, and you report them, and they end up being true, then maybe there's a little fuel to that fire. The political stuff has generally been proven to be a certain sect of paranoid people that are putting out the Illuminati, you know, conspiracies and stuff like that. That's all. All right. Tell us about the Emmys, Corey. I did not watch. That's all I'm going to tell you about.
The Emmys was actually a fairly decent show. based, you know, as award shows go.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm assuming his writing staff did the Emmys.
Okay.
I think when you hire Kimmel, you're also hiring his writers.
Probably, and they may,
because,
they may have.
Because I know
some
they've got
writers,
these Bruce yeah. Valanche and these hacks that sit there and do the Oscars.
I think generally a guy will, if you hire a guy, he can bring whatever writers he wants. So, I think they'll offer to hire you writers, or you bring your own guys, yeah.
Well, I think that they did a good job in Kimmel bringing his staff in.
Yeah.
And the show, Jimmy Kimmel was a good host. They did a great bit with Matt Damon right after the category, that Jimmy was nominated and he did not win.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon came out and was like, oh, see, you didn't win, huh? And, like, just kind of rubbed it in did a whole bit. And, you know, because they have their whole little feud.
Yeah, they've
But Damon was really funny, and they did a great bit. And it worked until James Corden came out. And then they did the fucking karaoke. And
well,
I wanted to throw a rubber brick at my screen.
Only gets bigger. Your hatred fuels his success, Corden.
I know. He's like the emperor. You know?
Well,
I feel like Corden's going to start... Like, his karaoke microphone's going to start shooting force lightning at me because I'm just my hate. I want to strike him down with my anger.
You know, again, I've always said that I get the appeal of Corden, even though I'm not a fan of his. I get why people like him, and I think he does a better job than Jimmy Fallon does at his show. And I think at this point, he probably does a better job. I think Jimmy Kimmel is funny and Conan's funny, and I think most of the other guys aren't funny. And I think even if Colbert was funny, which I think Colbert can be funny, I think Colbert does a terrible job on a show.
I think
Corden is the most successful late night guy at this point.
I disagree with you strongly on that.
And I think Seth Meyers is funny, but also does a terrible job on his show.
I think that they're doing bad. Well, Seth Meyers can actually interview people in an interesting way.
Okay.
Or at least get a decent interview.
Yeah.
Colbert's show is getting better. I think they got a new, EP.
Okay, yeah. I know that they were on, you know, the first thing you do before you cancel the show is you change out the showrunner to see if that guy can make a difference.
Well, they got a new EP.
Here's the thing about Colbert.
Okay,
I think this is why.
You don't like Colbert because you're a conservative Republican.
Okay, now why are you doing this?
You like Ann Coulter because you're a conservative Republican.
I'm going to jerk off to Ann Coulter right now. Let's bring up. Google Ann Coulter's hottest picks for me, Corey. I need to blow a load.
You just are more conservative than
I want
than
to
you
give analysis of television. I'm apolitical all the way around. I could give all a fuck. Right. They're all the same. All these guys are the same, and I don't like any of them. Here's my point.
You don't have a sense of humor.
I believe.
That's why you don't enjoy Stephen Colbert.
I believe Stephen Colbert.
You're a simpleton. What?
God damn it, let me fucking talk. In fact, your mic is off until I'm done. I'm going to tell you when you can talk. I believe Colbert was saved. I think part of the appeal of hiring Colbert is that it is an election year. And they wanted Colbert because they thought, oh, Colbert is going to give us this great political analysis. And that Colbert would be safe. So Colbert was safe through the election. That, I think, is fair to say at this point.
Okay.
Just as an analysis of television. Taking the politics out, Corey. You should try taking the politics out.
No.
It's much better analysis.
I don't ever
take politics out. Well, that's why you're an asshole. All right, let's move
on.
I'm going to go through the
Oscar.
That's
why I'm an asshole.
The Emmy winner.
You just.
I want to go
through
the
Emmy
winner.
Just say I am a conservative Republican.
Well, I'm not. I'd be lying to the audience.
I smell Dick Cheney's nuts.
I tell
and I get
the truth
on
the show, and I'm apolitical.
You're not.
I have not voted for a major presidential political candidate in my lifetime.
Well,
I have never voted for a major party candidate
for the
presidency of the United States in this lifetime. Because I think they're all assholes.
Okay.
I've always thought they're all assholes. I was a kid, I liked Reagan. But I thought I was a kid and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But I think they're all
assholes.
I hated
Reagan with a passion.
Okay,
that's fine. What?
That's fine.
All right.
Let me go through the Emmy winners and we'll think.
You're flat wrong on Colbert. He's good.
He's a genius. He's a genius
of
comedy.
I think he's smart. He does a smarter show.
I think Colbert is funny. I think he's talented. I think the show is bad. You know, there's great actors who make bad movies.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy who's making a bad show.
I don't care for his band.
Yeah, his show's not.
Well,
good.
This leads directly into the next.
Well, let's do the
late
Emmys.
Night asshole.
Let's do the Emmys. Best drama series: Downton Abbey was nominated.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones was nominated. Mr. Robot, House of Cards, Homeland, The Americans, and Better Call Saul. Corey's pick for best drama series is.
I know the results.
Okay, but I mean, which one? If you
I would
to
say
pick?
Better Call Saul.
was the best show.
Is the best show.
I've watched some of these, but not this season. So I've watched House of Cards, Homeland, and Game of Thrones, and The Americans. Game of Thrones won, which isn't a surprise. I don't watch any of them, so I really don't have a vote.
Game of Thrones, completely deserving.
Game of Thrones is a fine
the
show.
The scale of that production.
Yeah.
They're shooting that thing in, like, five countries at any given point.
Yeah, simultaneously.
They've got, like, they're shooting in the snow and in, like, these, you know, mountains, and they're shooting all over the world.
Did you hear, can I give you a Grand Tour spoiler?
Okay.
The new Jeremy Clarkson motoring show on
Amazon.
Oh, okay,
that's, yeah.
They do a bit where they take their cars. I think they go and, like, do donuts through the Game of Thrones set.
Okay.
It sounds like a funny bit.
It's got to be better than Top Gear, which was terrible.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I enjoyed that Top Gear, and I agree it wasn't very good. It certainly was nowhere near as good as Jeremy Clarkson, but I thought I was entertained by it, but I'm okay if there's no more of those.
I think that's another one of those shows where they thought that the format was the star.
Was the star, not the
personality. But it was the star was the star.
All right, for best comedy, Modern Family, Veep, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, exactly.
I called that one Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Which, that show's not bad.
Blackish. It's for girls. That's what I've always said about that show. It's for girls. And Master of None. I've seen... Recently, I guess I saw Master of None this season, and that was the only one I saw. Veep was the... What was your pick?
I would have probably picked... It's kind of a split between Veep and Silicon Valley. I like both those shows.
Okay. Yeah, Veep won. I liked some of season one of Transparent, but I didn't see season two, which is what was nominated. So,
now Transparent is a show that I feel is mislabeled.
Yeah,
much like Jeffrey Tambor was mislabeled as a man.
Yeah,
I feel that transgender is not a comedy.
So you think that should be a funny drama and not a?
I don't think
comedy.
It's a comedy. I watch it, and I don't think it's a comedy.
You don't laugh at it.
Well, there's a lot of these. This is
a
trend.
That's true. Yeah, no, you're
there's
right.
a lot of dramedies.
Not the ones that were nominated, necessarily.
No,
but
okay, Veep and Silicon Valley are in Master
actual
of None
comedies.
Are actual comedies where they're trying to get laughs.
Kimmy Schmidt is a comedy.
But Kimmy Schmidt is completely... There's no serious content in Kimmy Schmidt. It's all jokes.
All right, limited series, The People versus O.J. Simpson, Fargo, The Night Manager... Roots and American Crime. Of those, I watched The People versus O.J. Simpson. I saw some of season one of Fargo, which was really
season
good.
Season two of Fargo was sensational.
Okay, and I it's on Hulu. I might.
This,
catch
I gotta
up
say,
with it,
this Emmys, this was a
good shows.
This was a great year of television. Yeah. There were killers in all the categories.
O.J. Simpson won. I thought that was outstanding, and
I have no issue with that. I liked Fargo too. But
do you want to do the acting things, or do you not give a fuck?
Go ahead, run the now.
Well, I'll just tell you who won. Or the Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black.
Maslany from Orphan Black. Yeah.
Rami Malek won for Mr. Robot.
Now my wife likes that show.
Beating out Liev Schreiber and Matthew Reese on The Americans. Kevin Spacey on Scars. I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I know about Rami Malek. He stars in the video game Until Dawn on PlayStation 4, which is actually a great video game. It's all real actors in it, and he's good in it, so I like Rami Malek.
He's got kind of weird eyes.
Yeah, he does. He's good in that game.
Mr. Robot is a show that my wife watches, and I can look at it and go, I think this is a good show, but it's very, like, moody and low-key, and it just does not work for me.
Okay, yeah.
In terms
of
what I want.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for actress in a comedy, beating out Amy Schumer. Lily Tomlin. Well, Grace and Frankie doesn't deserve fucking shit, so fuck Lily Tomlin. Even though I like... you know, Lily Tomlin and my mom were childhood friends, so I do have a certain familial connection to
she
Lily
did a
Tomlin.
Movie not too long
she
ago.
She grew up in Detroit.
Actually, there's a movie that Lily Tomlin did that was pretty good called Grandma.
Okay.
That was pretty good. All right.
Actor in a comedy. Jeffrey Tambor won there.
Don't get me wrong. I love Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
Hank Kingsley is one of the great comic characters of all time.
By the way, HBO is going to have the full series of Larry Sanders again.
Okay, that's
it's coming out.
Does keep like disappearing? And
I think because they went into like a DVD window, and now they're out of the DVD window.
I think
HBO
Gary Shandling had sued Brillstein Gray.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently his estate.
There was a big fight.
Gary died, and now HBO's got.
There was
him back,
a big
so,
fight over the ownership of that. And,
all right, so Sarah.
That's a great show.
Sarah Paulson won for People versus O.J. Simpson.
Deservedly, she was.
That
phenomenal.
Was great. Courtney B. Vance, who played Johnny Cochran,
everybody
also
from
won
OJ
for
won.
People versus O.J. Simpson.
The whole prosecution for the OJ team. Yeah. Well, no.
All those guys. All those guys were great.
Bruce Greenwood didn't win, but he's great too.
There was so many good guys on that. I mean,
yeah, everybody on the show was sensational.
So John Oliver won the Variety Talk, so he beat out Corden, Kimmel, Fallon. Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee.
I thought that was
nominated.
A little bit
That's
of a weak
a
one.
It's kind of a web. It's kind of a YouTube.
So
thing.
Here's a weird
in
thing.
Real time with Bill Maher.
So when Julia Louis-Dreyfus won, she said she gave a nice speech because her dad had apparently just died, like on Friday.
Yeah,
and so she kind of had a little of emotional speech and was like, you know, my dad really liked Veep and his was the opinion that mattered, and she kind of cried, and they cut to Jerry. And Jerry is having no feelings of
Jerry
any kind.
Jerry could give a fuck.
Jerry is, like, incapable of having a feeling.
Jerry, listen, I'll tell you what, I know what Jerry was doing. God, Corey, you know you don't see anything. Do you watch TV with no context? Jerry clearly is going through his mind, sorting out which Porsche he's going to drive tomorrow. I mean, how could you not see that? It's so obvious.
No, just like,
I mean,
okay,
how do you not
all right,
see that?
As much of an asshole as I am, yeah. Okay, if, like, you know, Matt McClowry won a comedy award or something. A friend of ours.
Joel Fragamenti won for Joel Radio.
Well, that, I'm talking the real world. If Dave Landau won an Emmy
dick.
Or one of our friends won something, I would be happy for them.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And they just cut to Jerry. First of all, they cut to Jerry. Then they found Brad Hall after they cut to Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
Her husband.
Her husband, yeah.
So that was an interesting thing.
Well, for television movie, the Sherlock Abominable Bride one. I've seen some of the Sherlocks; they're pretty good. Although I have to say, here's one of the nominees.
That was a good category too. What else?
No! It's a terrible category because A Very Merry Christmas was nominated. That fucking awful thing. That deplorable fucking awful disappointment.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was that bad. It was that bad. That thing cooled off. Like a fucking like
a blueberry pie,
hot soup on a cold day. That fucking thing cooled off.
You put a blueberry pie outside.
That thing,
in
but
winter.
That thing, that thing was on people for weeks on like Facebook. Were like, 6 days till A Very Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
a day
all,
after A Very Merry Christmas came on.
No
one was discussing it. They were
radio
like,
silence.
Oh God.
What were the other things? In that
Luther, All the Way, Confirmation, Sherlock, and A Very Merry Christmas. I didn't.
Well,
see
Confirmation was really good. That was about the Anita Smith.
That was the HBO movie. Okay, I didn't.
Yeah,
see that
was good.
All
the Way was okay, but it was a little too on the nose.
Supporting actors, who cares? Let's see.
Supporting actors, who cares?
Supporting actor, let's do the comedy ones. Louis Anderson won for Baskets.
Okay.
He beat out Keegan-Michael Key. So that's good. I made it through about...
You don't like the Key and Peele.
I made it through about... I watched Keanu, and I made it through about two-thirds of it, and I said...
I'm of a split kind of position on Key and Peele.
Yes.
I feel like it's not as good or as bad as people make it out to be. You know what I mean?
I think it's a fine little sketch show,
yeah.
And I don't like sketch shows. So some of their stuff
works for me, yeah. And then some. A lot of it is dumb dancing and shit, which is what I don't. That's a genre I don't care for.
Peter Scolari won for Girls as the guest actor.
Well,
he's great on that.
Who doesn't love Peter Scolari?
Peter Scolari on Girls is great. Let's see if there's anything else we care about here.
It was one of those years though where everybody like they'd read the categories and I go, oh, that guy's good, that guy's good, she's good. Like it was a strong year for TV overall.
All right, well, who should win between Ryan Seacrest for American Idol, Tom Bergeron for Dancing with the Stars, Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn for Project Runway?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Jane
category.
Lynch for Hollywood fucking Game Night. Like that's a thing you have to do. RuPaul Charles for RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
And the guy who, let's just fucking make him the king of Hollywood, Steve Harvey for Little Big Shot starring Steve Harvey. What an arrogant prick. The show is called Little Big Shot starring Steve Harvey. That's the name of your fucking show? Dick.
It's called Steve Harvey Presents
This
Steve Harvey's Little Big Time starring Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey.
That's the full name of the show. Get it right.
Starring Steve Harvey.
Let me hear this little player. You got a girlfriend, you're 6 years old. Let me hear that.
This category's so bad that Seacrest won. That's how bad this category is.
I would give it to RuPaul, frankly. I honestly would give it to RuPaul.
Shark Tank won Structured Reality.
I think RuPaul's Drag Race is a more credible program than any of those.
For some reason, Gaycation with Ellen Page did not win. I'm surprised.
What?
At that.
Wait!
I don't know.
Are you telling me that she went and did a tea service in Japan and they let lesbians exist here?
I don't know why that didn't win. For Variety Special, oh boy.
By the way, Ellen Page has been getting naked in movies lately. Okay. I think she realized her career's over. No, I think she was like, now that I'm a carpetbagger, nobody will book me. So off comes the shirt. What?
Comedy specials?
Well, I'm just reporting what I see. I'm not saying.
Writing for a Variety Special. Amy Schumer's Live at the Apollo. John Mulaney, the comeback kid.
Hold on. So Tammy Pascatelli won for writing Amy Schumer's special.
Patrice O'Neill won for... Patton Oswalt, Talking for Clapping.
That was great, actually.
Tig Notaro, Boyish Girl Interrupted. And Triumph's Election Special 2016. By the way, there's a new Triumph special, which I have not seen. He did another election. He did
that
one
was,
during the
good.
Primaries, and he did a summer
Smigel's
one.
The best. And
did you see the winter one and the summer one, or just the summer one?
I think just the winter one.
Okay. The summer one's
well, but
Patton Oswalt won.
Patton also was like, I'm in a category with all my friends, and they all make me better. So that was
special
nice.
Class program. Basically, which is the gayest? I'm naming this award, which is the gayest. The 73rd Annual Golden Globe Awards, Grease Live, the Oscars, the Super Bowl 50 Halftime Show, which was actually pretty gay, because it was...
Who
was in the Super Bowl Halftime Show?
Said Grease Live. Do we need to proceed with this any further?
And the 69th Annual Tony Awards!
Oh. Grease gayer than the L.
Grease won.
Grease is none more gay.
And then they have documentary or nonfiction special, Becoming Mike Nichols, Everything is Copy. Yeah. Listen to Me, Marlon, Mapplethorpe, Look at Pictures, and What Happened, Miss Simone. I've only seen the Marlon Brando one and the Miss Simone one.
I saw the Mike Nichols one was okay. And
I really liked the Marlon Brando one. It was on Showtime.
Yeah,
and,
I didn't see that one.
The Miss Simone one won. But, here's more bullshit. Documentary or nonfiction series.
Storage
Actually, I didn't
wars.
See all these. No,
Cake Wars.
American Masters.
Parking Wars. Which wars
Let me tell you the one. This is documentary or nonfiction, so this is not reality. American Masters, Chef's Table, Making a Murderer, The 70s, or Woman with Gloria Steinem. American Masters is pretty reliable.
They're usually good.
But Making a Murderer won, and I thought that was way too long, and it was too... I didn't like the point of view of that.
Okay.
Because the guy's pretty clearly guilty. So there's your Emmy winners. There you go.
Joel never wants anyone to get off.
Well, I mean, most people that I know that have watched that have felt the same way as me. Yeah. They went like, well, it's pretty obvious the guy did that, but you want to make an advocacy piece, then go ahead. Speaking of advocacy pieces, I watched The Case of JonBenet Ramsey, which was on CBS. It was another one of these true crime reality television events, Corey. Kind of like O.J. Made in America, which, by the way, O.J. Made in America, which I think might be nominated for Emmys next year. Actually, I think they want to make that Oscar nominated because it actually did run in a theater.
Did it?
I think that will be Oscar eligible.
Wait, it's like 8 hours.
Yeah, that doesn't stop it from being Oscar nominated. So they were trying to kind of do this, and I thought O.J. Made in America was probably the best thing I've seen all year. So to make this the case of JonBenet on CBS, I think is a pretty tall order to climb. So I watched, the 4 hours of that. You know, it's about an hour and 20 each show with commercials.
Yeah.
I think it's the best thing I've seen on television all year. I think it's better than O.J. Made in America. Now, it's considerably different. And if you say, I think O.J. Made in America is better than this, I'm not going to argue with you. But I think they knocked this fucking thing out of the park.
Well, O.J. Made in America is the docudrama.
Yes.
It's the drama aspect of it, and this is the...
No. O.J. Made in America is the ESPN 30 for 30.
Okay, the trial of O.J.
The People versus O.J. Simpson was the
people
dramatic
versus
one.
Is the dramatized one.
Yes.
And they
OJ
are,
made
there are
America.
Different approaches.
Yes, and they're both great. But this JonBenet thing, here's the approach this JonBenet thing takes. Mm-hmm. They get a bunch of investigators, some of whom were actually working on the case, and they put them together in a room. And then you see them out in the field, and they try to do a real investigation. As opposed to a bunch of talking heads kind of telling the story about what happened, they actually are doing, and it's a round table of guys like Dr. Henry Lee, you might know him from the O.J. trial, and Dr. Werner Spitz, who's from here in Detroit, who's one of the most famous medical examiners, and a lot of FBI experts, forensic experts, and they all try to get to the bottom of, you know, who killed JonBenet and how it happened and the most plausible scenario, and they talk to a lot of the original detectives and a lot of the original witnesses, and it's really, really, really well done. And I got to tell you, go out of your way to watch the CBS. If you go to their website, you can watch it on there. I'm sure you can find a stream of it or maybe a YouTube or whatever if you search around. It was really well done. And by the end, they do come up with their scenario for what happened. And let me just put it to you this way. There is no scenario in the case of JonBenet, whether it was an outsider, whether it was the mom, the dad, the brother, whatever happened. Nothing is not shocking about it, and certainly what they came up with as the most plausible theory is very shocking, but it's hard to not be convinced by them. They do a very good job. So in a sense, it is an advocacy piece, and sometimes I don't like the advocacy pieces because I think that they're too advocacy. You know, they advocate a little too much, and they're not really objective, but this does examine all the theories, and what they come up with was startling, even to me. I've read some books about JonBenet. I've done a little bit of research into it. I haven't followed it all that closely. But I was really amazed by the job they did here. Those guys did a great job. And there's no, you know, talking head host. It's just the investigators talking around a round table. And then you do see them, you know, going out in the field and talking to people and doing interviews. And it was really great. So watch that if you care. I mean, I'll spoil it if you want me to. But I feel like people should watch that. I mean, granted, was JonBenet tabloid to the nth degree? It really was, but I think one of the things they do on the special is it really is about the evidence, and it's not about the pageants and sort of the tabloid nature of what happened, you know. That's not all in there, so it's very interesting. Very interesting. An interesting time in America. So you should watch that. I love just everything. Here's what the show. By the way, I'm renaming the show. Yeah. You know what the show is going to be called now? Corey thinks that everything Joel likes sucks.
I just don't.
That's what it is.
I just don't have an
okay,
opinion
but
or care
do you,
about
you have
John...
to laugh at it?
No, I just.
Do you have to laugh at, like, my review of something?
I just.
I really shouldn't do a show with you anymore. You're just really too big of a dick. And when I did the weight loss thing on the last show,
yes.
I got more than one message.
Okay.
About what a dick you are.
I got messages about what a dick you were.
Okay, that's fine. But, you know, it's then we should probably just do our own shows at this point.
I think that's a great idea.
I think that's a good idea. Because I can't even
I have zero,
a television
no,
show.
No, I have zero interest in JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay,
I have zero.
Then just say that. You have to, you'd like laugh at me. Like you mock me.
No, but if I say
her
I
her
have zero interest, you'll be mad at me for not liking something you like.
You're fine to like whatever
all
you
right,
like.
All right.
But when it's something you don't like, you laugh and you mock it.
I got nothing to add to the JonBenet.
Okay, you didn't see the show, and you didn't.
I
see
didn't
the show.
See the show.
You say you didn't see the show.
I'm not gonna see the show.
You're not gonna see the
not
show.
Not really.
But if
in
I
the case.
But I like when I recommend something. There's no chance in hell you'll watch that.
No, go ahead.
There's no. You won't like anything I've ever
That's
recommended.
That's not true.
To you. But
it
you
just,
won't
in
watch
this
it.
Circumstance, I'm not interested.
Okay, well, you should be interested. It's very good.
I don't care about a little white girl that got murdered by her parents.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there about...
You're very interested in forensics. You fancy yourself...
I'm not that interested. There's people way
you read.
There's people way more interested in that than I
you
am.
You read a giant horseshit book from Vince Bugliosi about...
Yeah, that's a horseshit
book. It was complete bullshit.
Thanks for listening,
no.
everybody. We're going to go.
Joel, you
we're going to go. Corey believes that how many people killed Kennedy? Let's talk about it right now. Give us your theory, Corey. Tell us who killed Kennedy.
More than one.
Okay.
All right.
Corey's a crazy... like I said, I told you about this earlier. Corey's a real smart guy, and I respect Corey.
Yeah.
But there are certain points when Corey goes off the deep end and will go along with the craziest of wackos in the world and will not go along with the smart people and the people that have actually... done research into things that Corey
you have this sense that you're some kind of investigator and you're the smart
I've done way more research into the Kennedy assassination than you have done.
All right.
And I have an opinion that is based on
that statement's fallacious.
In what way?
You really think that you think you're a fucking expert.
I know more about it than you do.
Okay.
I know about it than you do.
What's interesting to me is whatever your interests are your own interests.
I mean, you know, if you want to debate the facts of a thing, the person that's done more research into that should have more information.
Your worldview is
unless you're going, well, okay. Joel, just, and your opinion on this is that, you know, Joel only listens to bullshit. When, in fact, it's you that only listens to bullshit. It is you. I've read the conspiracy books, and I've read the books that say that Oswald acted alone. I've read all of them.
Okay.
I have a copy of the Warren Commission report that I've read. It's on my shelf out there.
Gotcha.
Okay, I've read the Warren Commission. So, I've read these things. And I've come to some conclusions after redoing all the research. All
right.
So, you know, I got interested in the Kennedy assassination as a little boy when Leonard Nimoy had In Search Of.
Yes.
And Leonard Nimoy talked about Badge Man and the fucking grassy knoll and all this stuff. Yes,
the tramps, the three
and
hobos.
All the three hobos and all of the typical, you know, bullshit. The direction of the head on the Zapruder film, all that stuff that people talk about. And I was into the multiple assassin theory for a long time. And then as I started doing more research into the Kennedy assassination, I decided that that's probably not the case.
All right.
I'm not trying to convince you. I want to make it clear that I've done, you know, I mean, fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but your mocking tone of me for doing research is like, you think you know something about that? Hey, you read all those books, Joel. Yeah, you think you're smart with that big brain. I know what's going on.
No, you're a rube and an imbecile. You know nothing.
Well, how are you not a rube when you believe that 87 guys killed Kennedy?
You don't like black pepper.
So
you're not a fully formed human fucking being. For God's sakes.
Again, enjoy the final show with Corey Hall.
I will
enjoy it. You please enjoy.
Why do you care about JonBenet?
It's not about JonBenet. You mock a review I gave of a show.
All right, okay.
Well, there's no need for that.
All right.
We're not partners in a show where you're just going to mock me every second.
What? No, that's not how that shit works.
There's appropriate times. That was not an appropriate time.
This is a man who watched every Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize
great time.
Doesn't realize he's
Costello. I'm fair game on Abbott and
Costello.
Doesn't
realize he's Costello.
I'm an open book on Abbott and Costello.
You think you're Bud. All right. All right. Go ahead.
I actually like that train of thought.
All right.
You can continue with that. I'll let you stay on this topic.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't know. That was what I watched and reviewed. Right. It was just something I saw this week.
All right, good for you. No, the JonBenet one just doesn't do anything for me.
You might like it if you watch it. You might. I don't know. I believe in freedom. Nobody has to watch anything. When people sit here and tell me I have to watch every Entourage, I tell you, go fuck yourself. I don't want to watch it.
Who's telling you that?
People have told me that.
All right, there's something we completely...
The guy that told me to watch Stranger Things and wanted to punch me when I told him I hadn't watched it was angry.
That's a Goomba. Was this East Side Jamoke?
No, but he was a dick.
You and I can completely agree on that.
Yes.
Entourage.
Yeah.
Hot garbage.
Yes.
Why does that even exist?
No. Well, no, I agree with you.
For the people that couldn't get enough of Entourage, they've created a show called Ballers.
Yes.
Which is like, if Arliss and Entourage fucked and had a baby with The Rock?
Wait a minute. Was the name Football Entourage taken already? Was that?
Yeah,
was that why not just call it Football Entourage?
It's Sports Entourage.
It's Football Entourage.
Yeah. That talk about a show that appeals to me in no way.
Yeah.
I don't
Well, get here's that. The thing we do agree on is don't force people to watch stuff that they're not going to like. My difference with the JonBenet thing is I think you might like it. I mean, your wife is in the legal profession. She might enjoy hearing about the district attorney and how corrupt he was in the JonBenet case. I mean, she might enjoy that. I don't know. I'm not recommending it to you. Like, Hikori, you're gonna love this fucking.
I laughed. Because
I
was trying to I was trying to get through your review, but I couldn't add anything to it because I'm not gonna watch it. I didn't watch it, and it's not something I'm gonna be compelled by.
Here's a 2-hour documentary about Springsteen's Telecaster. Watch that. I'm not gonna recommend that to you. Actually, there's not one of those, but if anyone wants to make one, I will gladly...
I will donate to the Kickstarter
if you want. But when I say to you, watch the JonBenet thing, I go, well, you would probably like that. I know what you like and don't like, and I think you might
true
like
crime in general...
Well, it's...
Isn't
how much Making a Murderer did you watch?
I didn't watch the whole
thing. Okay, but you watched enough of that.
Watched a couple episodes of it.
It's way better than that.
Yeah.
And O.J. Made in America, which I don't think you watched all of it, but that was real good, the stuff that you watched to that.
I think I watched all of O.J. Made in America.
Yeah, it was like 4 parts or 5 parts. Yeah.
I think I watched all of them.
Okay, yeah. So,
which is great.
I don't argue the JonBenet thing's better than that.
I don't argue with the OJ thing.
The JonBenet thing's better.
It's better than the OJ thing?
Yeah. That's what was my pre.
Okay, how is it better than the OJ thing? Because the OJ thing.
Because I explained it.
Covered.
I just explained it, and then you laughed at it. Okay. And then you go, how is it better? And I just explained why it's better.
The OJ thing covered 40 years of
yes.
race relations
sure.
between the Los Angeles Police Department
sure.
and the African American community, the entire celebrity career.
No,
of,
and
of
it did a great
Ball,
job.
James
I love that OJ thing. It's 10 out of 10.
So
it's 10 out of 10.
Why?
It's 5 stars.
What? Okay. My argument is that that thing had great political. You and I think very differently.
No. I agree with that. And I keep going. I'm with you.
You and I think very differently.
No, don't say that because we might not. So go ahead.
Right. To me, the OJ thing was impactful because it had a scope.
Yes.
To me, who killed a 6-year-old girl is irrelevant to anybody.
Listen, it's not irrelevant. It's about American jurisprudence. It's about part of this is about the police department. And what they did, and you know, police departments in America, you think they're under scrutiny a little bit right now? You think that's irrelevant to what's happening now?
No, but
you
I.
You think that, okay, but you didn't, okay, I'm telling you.
I don't see how this case translates.
I'm telling you, if you watch The Thing, it's in there.
All right.
And part of the thing that I think I liked more than OJ Made in America is that it was shorter, it was a little more focused. It was not 40 years of history, it's not that.
Yeah.
It was a little more narrow focused, but it was certainly. A lot of what goes on in the JonBenet thing and a lot of what, not a lot, but a portion of the documentary goes into why did the prosecution blow this case as badly as they did? And part of it is that in post-OJ America, they did not want to be criticized for losing a high-profile case. The guys whose jobs were on the line did not want to be disgraced
well, sure.
by trying to convict these parents and having these parents hire high-power lawyers and destroy all the evidence.
Isn't that
an important thing in American history.
Isn't it kind of the message of all these true crime advocacy shows is that the prosecution takes the easiest route.
Yeah. It's become a theme, yeah.
I think that seems to be the underlying theme on all
it's
these
It's become
kind of
a
things.
Theme, but... Again,
I don't know. For some reason, the JonBenet can when okay, it came out, I didn't care. When I come out now, I don't care.
Again, I didn't care if you watch it or not. You just don't have to laugh at my review of it.
I wasn't laughing at your review of it. I was laughing at how uninterested
I gave
was
a review and you laughed. So that if that's not...
I wasn't trying to make
fun
of your review.
Okay, let me ask you this.
You sensitive, tender
man. Let me ask you this.
What?
Were you thinking about which Porsche you were going to drive tomorrow while I was giving
I
that
was
review?
I was totally thinking
were you thinking about black pepper or some delicious black pepper that you were going to eat?
I was thinking about how I could ride around with The Rock in Miami Beach on a speedboat.
Is there a falafel stand that was on Thrillist that is opening that you need
to
go
do,
to?
Yes, I was
is
thinking
it,
about...
Is that what you need to do?
Yes.
Did Detroit Eater cover someplace you need to go?
I was thinking about where could I get some okonomiyaki in this town.
All right, let's talk about Son of Zorn on Fox. You saw this.
I did see Son of Zorn on
Fox. Tell us about that. I don't even know what that is.
This is from the team.
I kind of know what that is. They show promos.
It's from the team of Lord and, what are the guys' name? Lord and, the guys who did
it. Is it the guys who do Lloyd Have Mercy? Is it those guys?
Yes, Lloyd Have Mercy.
I don't know.
It's Lloyd Digg Johnson.
Is it really?
And his,
I had no idea.
His bucket of parts. No.
I had no
idea. Lord and Miller, the guys who who did the Lego movie.
Oh, okay. Well, those guys seem like they're a hot act in Hollywood.
Yeah. And it's basically the premise is a cartoon barbarian, kind of like He-Man, has fathered a child in the real world 20
okay.
years ago. Or 18 years ago, and he comes home he has to come back from his mythical land.
A fish out of water story
yeah,
with
yeah,
He-Man,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Which is kind of a corny premise.
Okay, yeah, it's all
but
right.
But I got to say the show itself was well done. One, the violence is stronger than,
okay.
like, they're actually, like, chopping people's heads off in the cartoons.
Okay.
And, you know, they do a whole bit where, you know, where the dad, usually the dad would get him a car. Well, he brings him this giant falcon beast.
Okay.
You know.
So he's not. Is he the only animated character? Are they teasing like?
Well,
the version of Skeletor is coming.
There
back,
is an animated world that we see.
Yeah, okay, so
briefly,
yeah,
where
okay.
he comes from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's his Eternia
yeah,
or wherever
sure,
it
yeah,
is,
yeah.
And so they there's
which
a little
is, which is how I do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get little glimpses of sure. that, but most of it is yeah. He's the only animated character.
Who's the human actors in this?
The human actors are Tim Meadows plays the new husband
okay.
or the new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Of his ex-wife, who is played by, Curb Your Enthusiasm, the wife from that.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Now we're old people.
That broad, Cheryl Hines.
Cheryl Hines, thank you.
How could you forgotten her from Match Game already after our review? No,
well, from Celebrity Game Night.
Match Game. All right, so Son of Zorn's good.
Who's getting away with doing less work? Jane Lynch for Celebrity Game Night. Or Craig Ferguson for Celebrity Name Game.
I believe Celebrity Name Game is cranked out. I believe they shoot a 22-minute episode in 7 minutes. I don't know how they do it. I believe that somehow
they found a way to fold time on itself.
No. Listen, Corey, listen to me. If everybody talks at 3 times normal speed and they slow it down, you could do that show in 7 minutes.
I guess so.
Yeah. No, I don't know, but
so Jason Sudeikis does the voice of Zorn.
Okay.
You know, I enjoyed it. It's got a little bit of a Adult Swim sort of sensibility.
Yeah, I get that vibe from it.
But a little, it's also kind of a sitcom-y vibe too.
Okay.
But it's you know what? It could have gone wrong.
Yeah, sure.
But the pilot was pretty funny.
Sure. Okay.
And had some edge to it.
Well, I might have to check that out. Maybe I'll
not
get to
expecting
that,
next week. To go. So
instead of watching the Emmys, I watched a movie, a documentary on Hulu called The Beatles, 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years,
okay.
Directed by Ron Howard.
And, I have not gotten to
made in conjunction
not gotten
with
to this
Apple
one yet,
Corps
but
and the Beatles themselves. So
I did see some of the clips.
It's very well done. You know, I don't think this is going to unseat the Beatles anthology as the greatest Beatles documentary ever made. But it is very good. They did a nice job with it. You know,
again, the anthology is what, 12 hours?
Exactly. And so some people might prefer this because it's a little more focused. It only focuses on 63 to 66, the years they were touring.
The touring years, yeah.
Now, of course, there is. The movie does end with them playing on the roof at Apple, which was 1969, but still, you know, it's very well done. Mm-hmm. Ron Howard does a nice job of it. They got a lot of footage, a lot of the archival footage, and brought that into the, you know, HD, you know,
so
and did
what
a good
is
job
the,
with it.
What is the new, what's the new footage?
Well, there's very little new footage. What they did is they put out a call for footage, and they got some people, some lady had filmed Candlestick Park, the final Beatles concert ever, aside from the rooftop, in 66. She had filmed that on like an 8mm home movie camera with no sound. And you see 30 seconds of that in there, and it's really not much. So that wasn't great. There's some interview stuff, I think, that they found of the Beatles being interviewed on some British talk shows, which was good. But, you know, there's some 63 footage from Manchester, England, that they shot in like widescreen film, like 35mm film, that they made HD and looks really great. One thing that they did poorly with the footage, some of it I thought, is they colorized a lot of it. A lot of the stuff, like some press conference footage, and the Washington D.C.
Really?
Concert. Yeah, and they kind of look orange in it.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, because a lot of it is black and white, and then there's this orange fucking stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this doesn't look good. And I read some reviews. Some of the Beatle blogs did reviews, and they also did not like the colorization of it. But, you know, they did that. You know, the interviews of John and George obviously are things you've heard before. I think they're taken right out of anthology. But Ringo and Paul give their interviews. You find out celebrities that had contact with them. Like, there was a well-known female celebrity who was in the crowd at Shea Stadium.
Sigourney Weaver. Spoiler.
No, she's in it, but it's not her. I don't even want to spoil it. But there was a well-known celebrity who you might think wouldn't be at a Beatles concert.
Because I saw Sigourney Weaver.
She was at the Hollywood Bowl, and there's footage of Sigourney Weaver at the Hollywood Bowl as a teenager, and you see her in the movie. So that was pretty cool. And then there's interviews with some of the people that were around.
She was
like,
just little Susie Weaver.
Neil Aspinall, he's dead now, but I guess there's some interviews with him. And some of the people that were on it's interesting.
Neil Aspinall only died,
years ago. And then there was one guy that I've never seen interview anywhere.
Who's left?
Very few of those guys. George Martin died this year.
They did good old Frida.
That was really good because that was a story you never heard before. The story of this movie that I'm reviewing here, you kind of know it if you know enough Beatle books and stuff.
Yeah.
It's still well done, but if you're a Beatles noob, I think you'll enjoy it more than somebody like you've read a lot of Beatles stuff and seen. A lot
yeah,
of
I
stuff.
Mean, I haven't read.
So
as
I don't
much,
know how
I
much
haven't read as much Beatles stuff as you, but I feel like
yeah, you know the story.
I feel like there's
well.
Not much more I can.
But you, glean, it's but. An easy watch. It's well done. It's yeah. a good. It's an easy.
I'll
watch
it. Sure.
It's worth a look. So I thought that was very good. It's on Hulu. It doesn't cost you a nickel to own it to watch it unless you don't pay for Hulu. But
I pay for Hulu. I pay for all that shit.
Yeah, I do too. And then you went to see Sully at the theater, so tell us about
oh,
that.
Oh, boy, Sully. Well, you know, Sully is a cool guy, you know. Sully likes to wear a leather jacket over a V-neck sweater over a button-up white shirt. Sully is so badass, he still uses a flip phone. Sully's out of fucks to give.
All right.
Now, I felt like Sully...
This is the story of the pilot who landed the
yes.
plane in the Hudson.
Yes.
When
Chesley
engine...
Sullenberger.
Yes. Tom Hanks as Sully.
Yes. It's a good movie without being, I don't know, I felt a little at arm's length from it. And I
yeah,
think,
I get what you're saying.
I think Sully himself is, much like Jerry Seinfeld, an emotional desert.
Yeah.
And the guy is, it's about a guy who did his job, who performed under pressure,
yeah.
who was a professional, that got up and went to work every day. And I think yeah. that both Clint Eastwood and Tom Hanks are kind yeah. of fixated on those stories.
Let me get, I'm trying to just see if I can catch the nuance. Are you saying Sully puts his pants on one leg at a time?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying
yeah.
to say
yeah,
here? Is
yeah,
that what
yeah,
you're
yeah,
coming
yeah.
from?
And I got to tell you, not that interesting of a character to make a film about.
Are you saying if you met Sully, you'd be like, oh, that's the nicest guy I've ever met? You know, you think he'd be an asshole because he's so famous, but he's really nice? Is that
no,
maybe
yeah.
the guy?
Here's the thing.
Is that maybe what Sully's like a little bit?
Not an asshole.
I'm trying to...
yeah, right. Sully, not an asshole. Not a drunk. Not closet gay.
Well, it's funny because
So, all of the things yeah. in this movie, they're telling a story. It's a positive story. The guy did his job.
Yeah.
He got a little bit of heat from the NTSB. Now people are criticizing. And
well,
the
they're
NTSB,
angry. Yeah, they're
the
angry.
The NTSB is like, you made us out to... Because they got
to
Mike,
be dicks, yeah.
They got Jamie Sheridan and Mike O'Malley up there being like snarling dickheads
yeah.
That are the NTSB investigators, and they're kind of on his case.
Yeah.
And Laura Linney plays the wife on the phone, because she's just always walking around their kitchen being like, Sully, what's going on? I
the
don't
wife
understand.
On the phone never gets old.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it felt like tonally, and I showed it to my film group and they loved it because, you know, they're elderly.
By the way, Deepwater Horizon will have more wife
oh,
on the phone.
Oh, good God.
That might be the holy grail
oh,
of wife on the phone.
Oh, my Christ.
Okay, let's
Are
name
we,
the best wife hey, on the phone movies ever.
Yeah.
Perfect Storm.
Uh-huh.
I believe Black Hawk Down had Wife on the Phone.
Is there a category in the Oscars
wife
for
on the
Wife
phone?
On the Phone?
We're going to do this on the next
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
I will
yeah,
do
yeah,
a full
yeah.
report.
We, you know what?
I've already identified
now we've just
Banksy.
Came
I
up,
can
look,
do that.
This I'm is why we do work together, even though I'm completely bored
yes.
by everything you
yes.
say.
Yes.
We do have brilliant ideas. We will do an alternative Oscars list.
The
and we will have
Wife
on
the
Phone
in
one
categories.
Of the categories.
But our Oscar nominees can be from any year. That's
okay,
the only thing.
Right,
going back all the way to
but that's
to,
all Laura
Linney
does
robbery.
Is answer the phone
yeah, the
and
wife
go.
On the phone, yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all she does.
American Sniper, wife on the phone.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Clint Eastwood,
wife on the phone.
Wife on the phone all day. American Sniper.
That's where a wife should be. Is on the phone to Clint Eastwood. Aaron Eckhart has an incredible mustache in this. I mean, just,
if you leave it up to me, the wife should be on the phone.
Wow, that's a pretty good Eastwood.
Remember when he talked to the chair at the Republican
who
convention?
Could forget?
I kind of did until recently.
Oh, my God.
Until this convention.
Real.
But Sully looks okay. I don't know. You know, it's funny. The movie Flight. Robert Zemeckis made this movie Flight a couple years ago with Denzel Washington.
Right.
Which I really felt was kind of Sully, but they made Sully out to be a drunk. And wouldn't it be more interesting if that guy wasn't a white bread hero and he was a black alcoholic? And Flight was a real good movie.
I thought people slammed Flight, and I kind of enjoyed it.
I thought Flight was good, yeah.
But Flight has everything. Exactly, you're right.
Yeah.
Everything that isn't in Sully happens in Flight.
Yeah.
You realize that he did save people's lives ultimately and was professional, despite being an alcoholic womanizer and all this fucking problems that he had.
Right.
So they gave that character
depth. I think that's a more interesting story than the real one, you know, in a way.
And, well, it's also Denzel Washington who's giving a more... He's giving a more voluminous performance.
Well, there's more for him to do than Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is just kind of gritting his teeth and looking a little worried.
You
so,
listen.
Sully, I just went, dear white people.
Yeah?
You're still in charge.
Yeah, I know.
Do we need to make a movie about Deepwater Horizon?
We're going
to
make that.
Remember that heroic story about how these oil workers didn't prevent a gigantic cataclysmic environmental
issue? Wait, it's a movie about how you're going to drown and you swam? Is that what you're doing here? Is that what you're trying to say?
Remember how they were like, we didn't prevent the Deepwater Horizon from blowing up. Like, what the fuck is that story? What is that about?
It is it is a weird thing, these heroes in movies. It's kind of like...
We're just looking for,
show us somebody being heroic.
Can we make a movie about a UPS driver that gets your package there on time?
You mock Tom Hanks, but I can assure you, he is going to finally get to the bottom of the Da Vinci Code.
Whoa!
I think he just needs one more.
What?
If we give him one more film, he'll finally nail it. He'll finally get to the bottom, Corey.
What on God's green earth is Tom Hanks doing with
that? That is
movies?
White people's obsession. They care about the Da Vinci.
And as a devout atheist, I have to say that those movies make me laugh more than anything.
Like, well, they should.
Because there's always this, like, in the trailer for this, it's like, it's some kind of Dante's Inferno clues.
Yeah.
And they're like, each level of hell Dante created and gave it a known name. And I'm sitting there going, I find legitimate, sincere belief in the devil even stupider than sincere belief in God.
Well,
I find that even
here's what I think about, like, the Da Vinci Code and all of those, conspiracies and those kind of things, is I think of a lot of what I think about ghost hunting, and I say this to John Tenney when he's here, so I'm not talking out of school, but I always kind of go, like, fictional horror and real-life horror are the same thing.
Yes.
They have exactly the same audience. The people that watch those ghost hunter shows and Paranormal State and those things are the same people that go to the horror movies. They're the same people for the most part.
I
feel like the Da Vinci
Code horror movies
people,
without liking Ghostbusting.
No, but you do not like modern horror movies.
Most of the time.
Most of the time you don't. Yeah,
there's a couple of
you didn't like The Conjuring. I sat next to you for that.
Sure.
You fucking hated
sure.
that thing. But I feel like the people that are into, okay. Well, here's what people are saying, essentially. The Da Vinci Code is bullshit. It's not made up. It's not like that real shit that was in the Bible. And I'm going, it's all fiction.
No, but it's
Dan Brown's version of that is every bit as real as what's in the Bible.
Yeah, but there's something about those whenever there's a demonic element to things.
Okay, yeah,
it's supposed to scare you more because you're a religious believer.
I know.
And I don't have any of that. So to me, the devil is no more plausible than Frankenstein.
Well, you can't not believe in the devil.
I can't?
No. If you want to believe in God.
Right. Yes.
You can't believe in one, and you can't. There can't be a heaven without hell.
I'm saying I think they're both silly. Yes.
Yeah, they're both silly,
right.
And so that's why the Da Vinci Code is every bit as silly. So the people that would try to, you can't debunk the Da Vinci Code.
I guess not.
You can't. Your bullshit is not, outweighing this bullshit. It's all bullshit. It all stinks.
Right.
You choose to believe. Here's what you're trying to say. I believe this bullshit over here. This bullshit I don't believe in.
It's like,
I just believe in this little bullshit
like
over here.
You can't actually do an autopsy on John Kennedy's brain because it was removed. All right. Anyway.
Enough of this. Enough of the show.
We'll never be able to examine.
Do you have
his
anything
brain.
Else for us?
We
watched the Lions lose the other day. Do you want to talk about that?
No, speaking of clowns, we have a listener question. Steve Ill King Macarianos.
Oh, one of my favorite guys.
I'm sorry I'm butchering your name there, Steve. He wants our take on the forest clown sightings.
Oh, come on. It's clearly an urban myth, and I think, look. I mean, do we really have honest to goodness?
I have
people see. You know what I mean? Is there clown?
I have
footage?
A report from CBS News.
Okay, but that's somebody said they saw a clown.
All right, in Greenville, South Carolina, there's a man-made trail winding through the woods near the Fleetwood Manor Apartments, leading to an abandoned home on the edge of a pond. Children say clowns live there.
Yeah, I know, but children fucking believe in Santa Claus. This is the stupidest reporting ever, CBS. Get over yourselves.
Oh.
No, I believe that this is clearly hysteria.
Now, is it possible that ICP is scouting a new location for the gathering?
No.
In Greenville, South Carolina.
That's not the case. Right. Yeah, it's not the case. I am not going in the woods as a clown.
Joel's not hanging out
I'm not hanging out in the woods.
I'm not hanging out in the woods.
I'm not hanging out in the woods.
Yeah. You don't live the clown life outside of the designated weekend.
I went to the Token Lounge with Violent J.
Did you?
Yes. Dressed as a clown.
Wow.
Violent J was also dressed as a clown.
Okay.
And the fans of us met us there.
All right.
It was wonderful.
When was this?
A few weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a Juggalo night.
All right.
And I was told, Violent J said, you should come and be part of this.
All right.
And I said, all right. And I went.
So it was a fan appreciation.
I went there and hung out with Violent J and the other members of Psychopathic Records. And we hung out.
The large figured clown with a blinking nose standing in her post.
Well, that's clearly can't be me anymore.
Waved at her.
Okay. When you read the report about the slim, trim 203-pound clown that's in the woods, then that might be me.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. That's all bullshit. Sorry, Steve. Sorry to burst your bubble.
I've seen the reports. I don't know if we have enough.
I mean, it's like shark attacks.
Much like JonBenet Ramsey, we'll never really know.
We'll know. By the way, that CBS special, you'll know. You'll know.
All right.
The case of JonBenet.
You know what else we'll know? I've now looked at the schedule for Branson.
Who's playing?
What shows?
Let's go. All right. Tell me who's there.
70s Music and Memory starring Greg Brady. Barry Williams.
Okay, Barry Williams
sings 70 songs.
I'm going to hold on to my money for right now, but I have the option to buy. All right. Give me the option. Give me the option.
You want to know how much these shows cost?
Yeah, what does Barry Williams cost?
$34.
All right, that's reasonable for Barry Williams. All right. Okay, give me another one.
A tribute to John Denver.
Okay, is it 50 cents to get in? Because I'll go to that.
$27.32.
Fuck that thing. Okay, next.
A tribute to Marty Robbins.
It's not fucking actual Marty Robbins. It's a tribute to Marty Robbins?
Nope.
Okay, that's got to be.
There's a lot of tributes.
All right, keep going, though.
These are all running in the
30. Who even fucking knows who Marty Robbins is?
These are all in the.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's funny.
Marty Robbins was like cowboy.
Yeah, I was thinking of Marty.
Butler.
No, I was thinking of. No. Who's the guy that was married to the woman from the Partridge Family? Oh. Who's that guy?
Marty Ingalls.
Now that I'll spend my money on.
Go to the tribute. The voice of the of Beagley Beagley.
I tribute to Marty Ingalls. I go, who the fuck's paid for
I
Marty?
Would go to the.
That's exactly what I thought it was. I completely fucked up. Okay, please go on.
There's a lot of tribute shows.
Keep going. There's
an ABBA tribute.
All right, that's a legitimate tribute. ABBA doesn't even tour anymore.
There's a Alabama Rolls On tribute, which I think maybe might be like two guys from Alabama.
Oh, okay, so it's not really Alabama, but it's like Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
Amazing Pets.
Nah,
it's an all pet show. That's $32.
No.
The Andy Williams Christmas Extravaganza is going to set you back $50.
And Andy Williams is long dead, right?
It features the Osmond Brothers and the Lennon Sisters.
Oh Jesus! How old are the Lennon Sisters?
I don't know. That's I don't know what the bald nomer.
The Lennon Corey. Aren't the Lennon Sisters in
Hold on.
Wait a minute. The Lennon Sisters are in the first Abbott and Costello movie.
Yeah, it's the cuckoo. It's the cuckoo. What it was from? Oh fuck it. Never mind. Now I've gotten old. From The Odd Couple.
Oh, yeah.
The Cuckoo Lemon Sisters.
The Lennon Sisters. I think are in Buck Privates. Unless I've got that.
This must be the Lennon Sisters. Great.
More
aunt,
different
nieces.
other Lennons and other sisters. Maybe they're John Lennon.
All right.
Sisters.
Here's another one. These tribute shows keep getting amazing.
Yeah, keep going.
Barney Fife Fully Loaded tribute show. That one's only going to.
Let me tell you something, Corey. If I keep losing weight, I'm going to audition for that.
Yeah, that one's only the guy.
Is somebody doing an Abbott and Costello tribute?
Should be the guy doing the Barney. Is
does
actually,
have a picture of the guy?
Yeah, he looks basically fatter than you.
is he fatter than you though?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Well, he's not skinny.
Not skinny. He's fat Barney Fife.
Not as skinny as you know Barney Fife. Beach Boys' California Dreamin' tribute.
Yeah, okay.
Bee Gees and Beyond tribute.
No.
Bill Engvall. $74.95.
Oh, because you're actually getting Bill Engvall.
You're actually getting Bill Engvall.
It's actual Bill Engvall. Okay.
Best of Neil Sedaka, The Carpenters, and Captain and Tennille.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Are any of them there?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, if they were all there, you got my money. But no, if not, not. Not a tribute to them. All right, keep going.
How does Buck Trent does that blow your hair back? I don't even know
who Buck Trent is.
I don't even know. There's some shit.
You get somebody might be Christian.
Here's another Carpenters tribute.
Okay.
Carpenters Once More. There's another tribute.
Well, Karen's not around, right. So.
Okay, now we're getting the actual artist.
I want the Carpenters tribute with the tranny, a guy, a skinny dude playing Karen. That's what I want.
Okay.
You got my money. Take that. Take Shut up and take my money. Here you go.
Yeah. Here's some actual artists that are really there. Yeah. Charlie Pride.
The black country guy.
The one and only black country star of all time.
Yeah.
Charlie Pride, When We Get Behind Closed Doors. That's going to set you back $54.
Okay.
Charlie Daniels Band.
All right, that's got to be top dollar.
That's $50.
Okay, so less than Bill Ingvall.
Chubby Checker.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Chubby Checker.
How old is Chubby Checker?
700 years old.
God damn it. Chubby Checker's got to be $30.
50.
Jeez. He's 80, Chubby Checker.
You're going to hear him do the twist.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Corey, I believe.
Clint Black.
I believe
there.
He's going to do the twist and Let's Twist Again. I believe you're going to
hear both. Okay. All right.
I don't think he just. He had more than one twist hit.
Those are both worth $25 you put it that way. Clint Black is there.
Okay. He's kind of washed up, but okay.
Then there's a comedy hypnosis show starring. No, I don't know.
I'll give 50 cents to watch that.
All right. Conway Remembered. The Conway Twitty tribute show. All right. Now and then, there's a show called Comedy Jamboree.
All right.
Let's see.
Let's see who's on the lineup
who
there.
Who's on the comedy? Okay. There's a picture that you have to see.
Are they? Okay. I'll come over there.
Look at how funny this is right here. What?
My headphones are not
look at
stretching.
Look at the fucking hilarity that seems to be going on with this.
Is that Larry the Cable Guy or a knockoff?
It's like a knockoff. I don't know what's going on.
And a guy's got rubber bands on his face. Do they scroll? Is there any? Do they list the talent who's appearing
enjoy
there?
One of the funniest shows in Branson. Filled with laughter, fun, some of the best live entertainment. Did they tell you who's in the fucking show?
I think they should know that as
Comedy Masters, Harley Worthit, Applejack and Stretch McCord share their unique brand of Ozarks humor.
Listen,
that will have the kids and adults laughing and telling stories.
Look, I like that third Stretch McCord album, but that's as far as I go with him.
Holy mackerel. What a homina homina.
Yeah, that's.
I would have to go to that.
We would have to go and hate watch that. All right, give me some more Branson.
We would have to hate watch that.
Where's
one.
Where's Tony Orlando? Come on.
Where is Tony Orlando? I don't know. The Conway Twitty
tribute. You might be on some dodgy, like, Book It website.
But look at all these.
Good shows aren't on that.
But look at how many of these tribute shows.
Yeah.
There's a Creedence Clearwater Revival.
The all gay Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh.
Called Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Hold on.
I'll watch that.
Here's a real show that you would actually maybe spend money on.
Come on.
David Cassidy.
Some of those Partridge Family songs are kind of good.
For $25, I would go to David
What's
Cassidy.
The good David? There's a good David Cassidy song that I like. I can't remember the name of it.
I mean, you know, there are the Partridge Family hits, like I Think I Love You.
There's some good David Cassidy.
And then some of his solo stuff. All right, for $25, I would see David Cassidy.
Okay,
David Cassidy. Wants $65.
Yeah, that's too much. Sorry, David.
Sorry. Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede. Not starring Dolly Parton.
Is it if it was Dolly Parton's Titty Stampede, maybe you got my money for that.
In 1973.
Yeah, in 1977.
Doo-Wop and the Drifters. Now, this sounds like one of those, like, fake drifters that, remember?
Yeah, the Drifters are not. Yeah,
are we at a four-hour show yet?
I know. Come on, keep going.
All right. Remember when Bowser was busting fake.
Sha-na-nas or something?
There's an Eagles tribute. Elvis Live starring Jason Presley. Jerry Presley, excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. All right. Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Oh, God damn it.
The Gatlin Brothers with Larry Gatlin.
This is the David Cassidy song I like. It's called I'll Meet You Halfway. Although this sounds like a re-record, unfortunately. Well, I'm not going to play your re-record. I mean, this goes on and on.
All right. Herman's Hermits.
With Peter Noone?
Yeah.
Although it's probably the only hermit at this point.
Peter Noone and B.J. Thomas.
Ooh.
I don't know why B.J. Thomas is on.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Yeah, I don't know why he must be the opening act.
He must be the opening act.
There's a show called Hot Rods and High Heels.
I might be interested. Are Flo and Eddie not appearing anywhere in the original Turtles?
Hypnolarious show.
Well, that sounds not
now,
hilarious.
Here's a real hack. Jay Leno.
Is it a guy with a big prosthetic tribute to Jay
Leno?
It's actual Jay Leno.
Yep, he's only doing one show.
He's not in Hot Wheels and High Heels, the Jay Leno show. He's not bringing his cars.
No. No, it's not.
It's
not,
One Night with Jay Leno.
Comedians in trucks getting burgers.
Drinking sodas.
Yeah. Comedians in Duthenbergs. All right. Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy. Which you would expect.
Well, wait a minute. So Bill Engvall's across town.
Yeah.
He's and the other two guys.
Fuck y'all. We're not doing the blue collar tour.
The blue collar tour is three guys, right?
Right.
So, right. Yeah, and I've seen, it's funny. I've seen that build two places where it's just two of the three. And it's never the same two. Sometimes it's just Foxworthy and Engvall and no Larry. And there it's Larry and Jeff and no Engvall. No, because you have to have Ron White. That's the fourth guy.
I wonder if.
So Ron, there's four.
Do you think there's heat? You think there's heat between? You think there's heat between Engvall and Larry?
I don't know. But who gets Ron White in the divorce?
I don't know. Ron White's the only one of them I would see.
Yes,
I would probably go see him on his own.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
In
now,
Branson, I would see any of them. But
now we're fucking talking.
Are we cooking with gas now?
Jim Stafford.
I don't know who that is.
You don't remember Jim Stafford?
No.
Oh my God!
Should I look him up?
Yeah,
on
look
Google
up Jim Stafford. Jim Stafford was on like a lot of shit in the '70s. He was on like every variety show, and he'd come on the Tonight Show and like play his guitar and do his goofy cornball songs.
I'm just trying to get his top songs here. What was? You remember what his hit was? Or
what was the big Jim Stafford hit?
I'm gonna go with whatever they say the first one on this. The big Jim Stafford hit, but I've got them all here, so let's
Spiders
see.
And Snakes.
Spiders and Snakes. Here you go. Going out to you right now in Jewel Radio Land. Well, if you want a double bill.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you My Girl Bill next if you want
All right,
that.
We'll hit that one next. You don't remember this?
This kind of sounds familiar to me. I don't know.
I remember when Mary Lou.
Oh, he's like a, he's another one of those guys.
Yeah.
Another Ray Stevens.
Yeah. Yes, I do. He was on The Tonight Show a lot. She said, he'd come out and tell stories.
I could also play you Wildwood Weed.
Or Cow. How about Swamp Witch?
I have that, sure. Let's hear a little Swamp Witch.
Blackwater Hattie lived back.
Oh, Jesus, fuck him. No wonder he's in Branson. Let's hear My Girl Bill. And I have Cow Patty spelled P-A-T-T-I, like that's a girl's
Bill
name.
Bill walked me to my door.
That sounds like somebody
night.
I dated. I should listen to that one.
And he said, before I go, there's something about our love.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. I think you're reading that site wrong.
Right to know.
I think they give you $32.50 if you watch the Jim Stafford.
Okay,
I think that's how that works. Yeah, I think if you make it to the end, you get $32.50. Here's Cow Patty.
This goes on forever.
From the Badlands came the killer. He lived by the knife and the gun.
Sounds like the Charlie
Cut
Dan.
You just for standing. Shoot you if you
the
try.
The devil
to
came
run.
Down to Georgia.
Yeah,
he was looking for a
totally
soul to
Jim
steal.
Stafford, yeah.
He was big as a
this
tree
a big,
and he did as he pleased.
Like, trucker,
this
is trucker music.
Bad.
Trucker
kinda.
Music. Remember yeah. like Mac
they
Davis
said,
yeah, and yeah, like
Eddie Rabbit
the
was sort of in
what was
there.
The Man. Big Big John? Was that was oh you know what? That was Jimmy D.
Okay.
Patty was her name.
Do we have to do a special on trucker music?
We can do a whole trucker music.
On a moped, she called.
Yeah, this is it's like American folk music.
It was
yeah,
so big in the '70s. Yeah. Johnny Mathis is there. Well, see, there's Johnny Mathis and Jay Leno are only doing like two nights yeah. or whatever one
so,
show.
They got to go back to Vegas.
There's like the regular shows, like Larry's Country Diner.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck that is or why.
Well, it's like it's probably like a Vegas Review kind of deal.
Oh, the
know?
Letterman.
God, they gotta be ancient.
Well, it's like there's one old one
yeah.
and two young ones.
Is there a black Letterman at this point?
Yeah, yes,
it's a Pakistani guy.
An Indian guy. Oh, then there's Liverpool Legends, and I think there's
oh, that's a Beatles tribute.
I swear to God, there's a black Beatle.
Is there a black like yeah?
It looks like the Ruggles. The Ruggles.
Well, there's an Indian. The George and the Ruddles is Indian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
Only doing two shows. Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute. This is amazing. The shows go on. Forever.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what you do in Branson is you go to shows.
Yeah, Mickey Gilley has a regular
right,
show.
Hey.
It goes on and on.
Another trucker act.
There's a Michael Jackson live. What's weird yeah. is that like there's all the country stuff you expect, and then once in a while they'll throw in some.
They throw
like,
in rock and roll.
There's like a Legends of Kung Fu show. It just goes on
but
and
I
on
bet you like the Legends of Kung Fu show. Well, first of all, I bet you most of these places paper everything. Mm-hmm. Like, say you're going, you're going to Jim Bob's Country Buffet. Like, on, you know how, like, they give you the tray liner? There's, like, a two-for-one for the Kung Fu show. You know, like, the thing you put your
like,
plate,
when you go to Perkins,
paper,
it comes
there's
with
a
your,
paper, like, placemat.
Yeah,
that's, there's a two-for-one for the Liverpool experience on there.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah.
They're, like, regulars.
Ale
Baru. Yep, they're main station. There's Ozark Mountain Jubilee, Ozark Mountain Opry, Pam Tillis.
Oh, Pam Tillis.
Yeah, these go on and on, man.
And he signed a Mel Tillis.
Oh, the platters.
Yeah, that's another.
Which is another one of those like fake platters.
But you know what? You gotta be honest though, Corey. That there's going to be a time where there will not be anyone alive that would appreciate the Drifters. Or the platters or something.
They're coming soon.
Yeah, the Letterman and Chubby Checker. It's going to be like no one will.
Well,
you know, I mean, like
that will be the day they shut down PBS because
no. Well, that's why
PBS's entire strategy seems to be based on doo-wop.
No, but that's why
whenever it's Pledge Week,
because now it's all Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, on there.
Oh, they're getting
younger. They're getting into that, and it's Ed Sullivan compilations and stuff. So they're into baby boomers now.
When it's Memories of Fleetwood Mac.
Well, they're not in that World War II generation anymore. They're sort of past that. They're
into but no, well, they stopped doing
hippies.
The big band. You're right. The big bands are done. Now they're doing
duo. Once in a while you see those, but yeah, it's not, you know,
it's
a Glenn Miller.
Whoever's
tribute.
70 years old and has a checkbook.
Yeah.
Ronnie Millsap. These go on and
we
on.
We got to wrap it up. Let's
all right,
go.
All right.
It's enough. People can look these up.
Wait.
We've squeezed. We've wrung all the comedy out of
them. Here's another show we got to see.
What's that?
Sons of Britches.
All right, well, let's go.
These look great.
How far is Branson, Missouri to drive there?
Statler, it's got to be 12 hours.
Yeah, it's probably
Statler Brothers Revisited.
Because that's like eastern Missouri. That's not even like, or it's western Missouri, I think. I don't think it's even like.
Yeah. Okay, I think I've hit the end of this list, but it's pretty amazing.
But we still didn't see Yakov and Tony Orlando.
No, because Yakov's got his own theater.
Yakov, I'm saying that's a site for like. The hacks or whatever. And
well,
we're trying to.
I mean, there's
tickets.
People like Pam Tillis and Ronnie Millsap. That
yeah,
have
I know,
theaters,
but that's that's what that is. So, all right, well, let's get out of here, everybody. Thank you for listening to Jewel Radio. I think you got a little bit of everything today. You got movie reviews. Corey and I fought with each other and hated each other.
That happens.
It was a little bit of everything you like here, and I talked about things that there will be hate mail piling up about me to Corey. There will be hate mail piling up about Corey to me.
We do get messages.
Which I don't believe that's the case because I've never seen any of this hate mail about me, but I'll have to take Corey's word for it. But let's get out of here. It's Jewel Radio. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to email me, joelthecomic@gmail.com. There's, of course, our Facebook page at joelradio.net. Please feel free to like that. You can always leave a comment on the front page of joelradio.net as well. We appreciate your comments. We read all of them. So go get those. We're going to catch you next time. Maybe. Maybe we'll be friends. I don't know. Maybe we'll go to Branson, Missouri and watch an Abbott tribute hold each other's penises.
I didn't see the Abbott and Costello tribute, but I did see the Bowery Boys tribute featuring Hans Hall III. No.
If you Google Abbott and Costello tribute, you will see some things. There are guys available for hire in an Abbott and Costello tribute. So if you wanted to hire them for your private party.
How about the Sweat Hogs tribute? How about we got like a fake, because a couple of them are dead.
Yeah, you could probably get.
You could get Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
But
you could get, he's like still alive
but
and available.
But Horshack is dead?
Horshack, Ron Palillo is dead, yeah.
But what about Juan Epstein?
I think he's dead too.
Juan Epstein, so you have to get Travolta and Vinnie Boom Boom Washington.
Those are the only two you got.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, you can get Mr. Cotter.
He'll come out.
Jake Kaplan will come
out. Why isn't he in a Branson?
He's got to be in Branson. We're missing out on that. All right, we're out of here. Thanks for listening to Jewel Radio. You know, maybe for my November 1st weight loss celebration, an Abbott and Costello tribute would be appropriate. I don't know.
Okay.
Send them over to Buddy's Pizza, where I'll be celebrating my 90 days of veganism.
All right, there you go.
Good night, everybody. We'll catch you next time.